Suddenly, Urien felt a powerful grip on his hair. Looking up, he saw his father. Without a word, he pulled Urien back and then cradled Archie in his arms to rock him. Then, with his other arm, he pulled Urien against his chest to hold him like he'd done when they were boys. His hold was brutal and crushing, and yet it was strangely comforting.
"We won't be broken. Not by this. The gods can try, but we are stronger than they know, and we are mighty. Do you hear me, my sons?"
He wiped at the tears on Orion's face and then Archie's.
"Look at me, both of you."
He waited until they complied.
"We will rise up and strike back. We are not the only ones to lose in this, and we will not allow them to take it all from us. Not without a fight. Blood for blood, life for life, we all have a choice. You either cave to the blows of your enemies, or you mount their heads to the wall," Orion finished for him. His father nodded.
"Tharatago,
Deathbringer."
And after this, he would forge his own Thanati, a team of Spati to hunt and prey on their predators. If the gods and Dark Hunters wanted a war, Orion was willing to bring it to them. July 18th, 2945 BC. Orion was getting ready to leave with the strike team when a bright light flashed in the main hall of Colossus. Grimacing, he stepped back, expecting another Appellite or Daemon. That was what normally came through their bolt hole. Although, over the last few thousand years, they'd had the occasional Dark Hunter or Demon be stupid enough to try, and that had been highly entertaining. But this was something else. Everyone in the room froze. His father came off his throne. Tall and muscular, the man held an aura and smell of an Appellate or Daemon, yet his dark hair said he was definitely not one of them. Not that a Daemon couldn't have dark hair. Their father and Archie dyed theirs, but this man's skin tone suggested that his hair might actually be naturally that shade. That, and the fact that he smelled of an animal scent. Like Zin. As if he were a hybrid being of some sort.
"Who are you?"
his father demanded. Screw that. Orion wanted to know what he was.
"Nicander, son of Simonides."
He glanced around at them with a scowl as they circled him, trying to determine if they should welcome him, restrain him, or kill him.
"What is this place?"
His father didn't miss a beat.
"It depends on your intent and species. What exactly are you?"
"I'm a Katagari Sakali."
Orion was the first to snort.
"You say that as if we should have a clue as to what it means."
He cast a disdainful smirk toward him.
"Means I'm a shapeshifter. You don't get out much, do you?"
"Enough to kill what annoys me,"
Orion raked him with a sneer.
"And to skin enough animals to make a new pair of boots whenever I need them."
When Nicander started for him, the daemons between them grabbed him and held him back.
"I wouldn't do that,"
Tratis warned him.
"He might look young, but Orion's one of our strongest warriors. Trust me, you don't want to tangle with him."
Curling his lip, Nicander backed down, then turned toward his father.
"King Lycaon."
"Who?"
"Lycantes of Arcadia. He was crowned Lycaon the Sixth of Arcadia. Stupid bastard had the unfortunate luck of falling in love and marrying an Appellite bride without knowing it. Somehow, she kept it a secret from her husband until her 27th birthday. When Queen Mycenae died, Lycaon realized that their sons would fall prey to the same fate."
Crossing his arms over his chest, Orion cringed at the sad reality of their mixed marriages. The gods had given them no reprieve, even with that.
"Lucky him, his sister was the goddess Shala."
Orion let out a low whistle. As the daughter of Erebus and Nyx, Shala was literally born of night and darkness. But more than that, her husband was the god Dagon, and his mother, Hecate, was the daughter of the Titan sun god, Helios. That was quite a family tree. No wonder Mycenae had wanted to marry into it. As an Apollyte, that was a wise decision if one wanted to save her children.
I take it the king decided to invoke some family intercession? Orion asked.
Nicander nodded.
Dagon came to their aid and used his magic to splice animal DNA to Apollyte biology.
Now he had Orion's full attention.
How'd that work out for you?
Spreading his arms wide, Nicander turned a small circle for all of them to see.
Better than anyone could ever imagine. There are two breeds of our species now, Arcadians, who have human hearts, and thus that is their primary form.
The hairs on the back of Orion's neck stood up.
Meaning what? They're born human and live their lives primarily as human beings. At puberty, they are able to shift into whatever their alternate animal form is.
His father narrowed his gaze on him.
And the category?
Categoria is the plural form. Category is singular. We are born as animals and have an animal heart. Therefore, our base form is that of whatever animal we were born as. In my case, I'm a jackal, which means I sleep in that form, and if I'm injured or I die, I revert to it. It's my strongest form.
That's so fucked up,
Archie said. Orion concurred, and apparently, so did Nicander.
I didn't choose this any more than you chose to be Apollyte. We were rounded up and experimented on against our wills. This was forced on us. But the upside is that we don't die at 27, and we don't have to feed on blood anymore to live.
Now that got everyone's attention.
Beg pardon?
His father stood up. Nicander nodded.
You heard me. We live hundreds of years, with our magic intact.
Sign me up!
Orion cast a droll look at his son.
Don't be so quick, Jerris. The gods are never so bountiful. There's always a drawback.
He's right, Nicander sighed.
As soon as Zeus found out, he demanded that we be put down. When the king refused, we were cursed.
Orion gave his son an I told you so stare.
What's the curse entail?
His father asked.
The Arcadians and Categoria are to war against each other and never know peace until the last of us are dead. We cannot choose our mates. They're chosen for us by the fates. If we don't accept who they choose, our males are rendered impotent for the rest of our lives.
Jerris' eyes bulged in horror as he cupped himself. Orion smirked.
Take it you changed your mind, Magios?
He nodded vigorously. Nicander sighed again.
Like the animals we are, we're hunted continuously. Our mates, even more so. And when they're pregnant, they can't shift forms or use their magic. That's how I ended up here. I was leading a Tessera, a team of four of them, away from my pregnant mate. I'd gotten them clear of her, but couldn't shake them from my trail. When the portal opened, I didn't care where it took me so long as it was away from my enemies.
Nefeli scowled at him. How do you know when your mates are chosen?
He held up his hand to show her an intricate pattern that appeared to be branded into his palm. A matching mark appears on each of our palms to let us know. Once it's there, we have 3 weeks to cement the union, or we're screwed. A woman will never be able to have children, and as I said, a man is left impotent.
So glad I'm an Apollyte,
Jerris whispered in Orion's ear.
Orion elbowed him. So do the Dark Hunters hunt you too?
He shook his head. They're not allowed. Not even if we're Trelos, slayers, or marked. His father arched a brow at that.
You still go Trelos?
Not for the same reasons as a daemon does, but I. Something about our hormones at puberty causes a similar madness in our species. A slayer is the same thing, only that's the term they use when it affects a category werehunter. The term given to cover both our branches.
And marked? Orion asked.
When our council has gotten together, and, with Savitar's approval, determines that someone needs to be put down because he or she is a danger to us all, once the Omegrion decides, we're marked for termination and hunted.
And they call us cold.
Paris shook his head.
So glad I live here.
Orion didn't comment on that.
Who's Savitar?
Apollyme answered that one. A rank, arrogant Thonian bastard. Surly as hell. Pray to the gods you never have to deal with him.
Orion was shocked by the venom in her tone.
That was the type of hatred usually only reserved for Apollo or Artemis. And in the back of his mind, he seemed to recall her speaking of him before, now that he thought about it, but it had been years ago. They all bowed to their goddess. The werehunter hesitated, then realized it was probably a good idea to follow suit. Apollyme walked over to Nicander to examine him a little closer. So, you're Savitar's current pet project. Why?
No idea, my lady.
She narrowed her gaze speculatively.
He doesn't come off that island lightly,
nor does he meddle in the affairs of the gods without a damn good reason.
Did the Dark Hunter Asheron ask him to?
I don't know anyone by that name.
But Orion did.
He immediately remembered the creature he'd met whose eyes matched hers. Were they related?
Who leads the Werehunters?
You mean the Omegrion?
Not that.
Who are the founders of it, the First Blood Children?
The Catalachus Princes, dragons and wolves.
That still didn't seem to pacify her. She cut a gimlet stare toward his father and then him.
I leave it up to you, Stracarius, if you want to allow the Werehunters a haven here. They are cousins to you, after all. Their blood and souls should feed you, being that they are hybrids.
That was something Orion hadn't thought about. But the goddess was right. They were chimeras, and since she'd pointed it out, he could detect the soul within them. That baby was ripe for the plucking, and he wasn't the only one to know it. Several of his men around him were now salivating. But his father quickly put a stop to that.
So long as they hold to Irini law, so will we.
Damn those peace laws.
Nicander inclined his head respectfully. Thank you. And know that my people are setting up Limanis with Savitar's approval and his oversight. Not even a Dark Hunter can breach their sanctity without suffering his wrath. It's a place where Daemon, Apolyte, and Werehunter can gather in the human realm in peace.
And if the humans attack?
A slow smile spread across Nicander's face at Orion's question.
Come in peace, or leave in pieces.
He turned back to Apollyme.
We're slowly learning to live among humans, although a lot of Apolytes have done what you have. They've moved to underground communes. We're setting up networks with signs that will subtly alert our kind without the humans knowing.
About time, Archie growled.
Paris rubbed his back, but he shrugged off his sympathetic touch. Not that Orion blamed him. He'd now lost all of his children and his wife to Dark Hunters, and 3 grandchildren. They were sick of their predators. Right now, they were losing this war. Not even their Aunt Satara was able to help them with the information she gleaned from spying on Artemis and Apollo while she attended Artemis as one of her handmaidens in her temple on Olympus. There had to be more they could do. And Orion was done with this. He motioned for his team and headed for the door.
Where are you going?
His father asked.
He smirked. Same as what I always do, Solran. Going out and getting even.
What does he mean by that? Nicander asked as they stepped through the portal and vanished. Apollyme laughed.
Those are my Stygian Thanati. They hunt and slay the Dark Hunters who prey on daemons.
Stryker smiled as he pointed to the ornate display of weapons on the far wall.
Those are their trophies, taken from every hunter they've slain.
Are they rewarded for it?
Stryker's eyes flashed red at the stupidity of that question.
Of course they are. Satisfaction in the destruction of your enemy is its own reward. No one understands that better than their commander.
And who is their leader?
My son, Orion.
Orion froze as they came up against a familiar power. Eleni was the first to step toward it, but he caught her arm and shook his head.
You need to return. Every one of you.
All six members of his guard turned in unison to gape at him, as those were never the orders he gave. His second-in-command, Spawn in particular, had rebellion in his eyes. Orion tightened his grip on his shield.
I mean it, Spawn. Take my son and the others and lead them back.
He saw that same rebellion in his son's eyes, but he knew better than to question him, as did Spawn. They'd fought together too many times for him to start questioning him now.
Aye, Kyrios.
Orion stayed behind to cover their retreat. They had barely vanished when he was hit with a blast so hard it staggered him, but somehow he managed to remain standing.
Why do you carry the shield of Styx of Didymos?
I don't. Another blast almost tore his arm off.
You think I don't recognize that symbol?
The fury in that tone almost shattered his eardrums. Orion sent his own blast toward his attacker. Though he couldn't see him, he hoped he was close to the mark. It was then he saw Acheron. He planted his staff in the ground and used it as leverage so that he could kick him back with both of his feet. Orion stumbled back and landed on his ass. He scrambled to rise and used his powers to gather his copas back into his hand.
Who are you?
He lifted his chin with pride.
Orion Strykeros.
That took the anger out of him.
The one they call Thanatago.
You've heard of me. Before he could blink, Acheron was in front of him. No longer human in appearance, he was in a full Caronte form, horns, wings, and mottled blue skin. Stunned, Orion couldn't breathe. He'd always been told that no Caronte existed outside those that served Apollomy. What the hell was this bastard?
You insult me with that shield, and by killing my soldiers,
Acheron growled. Your Dark Hunters insult me by murdering my family.
Boy, you don't want to make an enemy of me.
He laughed at Acheron's threat. We were born enemies the minute you set your soldiers after my people. Growling, Acheron blasted him. Orion caught it with his glowing arm and returned the blast. The shock on Acheron's face was priceless. With a battle cry, Orion charged his sword with his powers and went into attack. Just as he would have struck, a portal opened and grabbed him, sucking him back to Colossus. He was slammed unceremoniously to the ground at his father's feet, so hard that for a full minute he thought he'd shattered every bone in his body. Gaping, his father stood, then rushed to his side. He pulled Orion's helmet from his head and quickly checked him for injuries as Apollomy appeared in one of her finer rages. Typhoon winds whipped through the hall, tearing at the acolytes and daemons gathered there and sending anything not tied down flying. Her white hair spiraled around her body as she glared at the two of them.
You don't ever attack the Alecti!
Those short, clipped words reverberated through the hall. Since his father hadn't been there, he had no idea what she was talking about.
What?
She pointed at Orion.
He attacked that which is never to be touched. If you ever dare strike the Alecti again, I will have you flayed until there is nothing left of you but the marrow of your bones, understood?
Given the amount of pain he was in.
Understood, Akra.
Orion panted, trying to get his lungs to work again. Still in a huff, she vanished. His father cupped his cheek.
What happened?
Orion cradled his arm to his chest. It was definitely broken.
I don't know.
He's the leader of the Dark Hunters.
Acheron.
I think he's part Caronte or part God. He had powers unlike any I've ever seen or felt. Hugging him, his father kissed his forehead.
All right. Let's see you tended. And make sure you cut him a wide berth. In the future, I want you and the others to stay low and out of Acheron's sight. Nothing is worth losing one of you.
Orion agreed out loud, but inside, he was seething. There was something wrong about this, all the way around. And he wanted to know what.
February 18th, 1650 BC. Orion scowled as he heard a woman crying. That was not something he was expecting. Grimacing, he got up slowly from his bed and forced himself to stand in spite of his wounds and headed for where she seemed to be. From the opening of Zin's old cave in Colossus, he saw Katra sitting alone near the falls, weeping. At first, he started to return to bed and leave her there. It wasn't his business. She definitely didn't concern him, but those sobs were gut-wrenching. Sighing, he headed for her, even while he called himself all kinds of stupid for it. Here. Kat looked up with a sharp gasp. Orion wiggled the handkerchief in front of her face. She took it and wiped her eyes.
Thank you.
Anytime. Are you all right?
She blew her nose loudly, then skimmed his half-naked body, which was bruised and covered with healing injuries.
Better than you, obviously.
He wouldn't argue that. He'd almost been gutted by a dark hunter who'd been working with demons for helpers.
Bastards.
The worst was a massive cut across his chest, half an inch closer, and they would have had his mark and killed him. By the expression on Kat's face, she realized it, too. She wiped her nose.
What happened to you?
He asked. With a ragged sigh, she shook her head.
Ever done something you're really ashamed of?
A number of times, but one stood out above the others. Broke my mother's favorite dish when I was a boy and blamed my twin brother, then let him take the beating for it.
You're such an asshole.
Orion shrugged. That's what my brothers tell me. He'd have felt worse had Paris not done his own share of blaming him for things. Paris had done. Anyway, you were saying?
Katra pressed her hand to her forehead. I did something, a favor for my mother. Now, it was wrong, and I feel terrible, and I think I really screwed up, and I have no one to talk to about it.
Carefully, he sat down by her side.
Yeah, we've all been there.
Well, maybe not there, he gestured to where she was sitting, but you get the idea.
She snorted. I just don't know how to fix this.
What exactly did you do?
I stole the powers of a god.
His eyebrows shot north as he fought the urge to step away from her.
You can do that?
She nodded.
Well, I'm not gonna lie, that was pretty harsh.
I know!
She started sobbing again. Orion felt terrible.
There, there.
He patted her awkwardly. She threw herself against his chest, which only made it all the more awkward, since the only bit of clothing he had on was a shendite. After a few minutes, she finally got hold of herself and pulled away.
Thank you, Orion.
Not sure I did anything.
You listened.
She wiped at her eyes with the heels of her hands.
It's more than most people do. And where I come from? There wasn't anyone who would do that much, so thank you.
No problem.
He pushed himself up and groaned as pain cut through him. Kat frowned. Why are you here by yourself? Shrugging, Orion didn't want to tell her the truth. He didn't feel comfortable with his own family. He never really had. Paris had Davin. His father was shacked up with three women he could barely tolerate. Archie had gone psychotic after the deaths of his family and stayed in an orgy most of the time. The rest just pitied him for being alone. And the one woman he wanted lived in the human realm and was banned from here, so he tended to stay as close to Zin as he could, which meant sleeping in her bed if he couldn't sleep with her. At least here, he didn't have to worry about waking up with one of his father's leftover meals groping on him. Kat scowled as she studied his unbound hair.
God, it freaks me out to look at you.
Gee, thanks, he said sarcastically. Way to bolster my ego.
Sorry, you just remind me a lot of someone else.
Whatever.
Orion started back for his cave, but he didn't get far before Katra called out to him.
Hey, Ori?
He paused to look back at her.
The Dark Hunters have one more weakness you don't know about.
And that is?
If you put two of them together to fight, they weaken each other.
Stunned, he stared at her. Why are you telling me this?
Because they were created as pawns to manipulate and control someone very dear to me. And I don't think it's fair that he has to suffer because of them. While I don't want to see the Dark Hunters killed, I hate the fact that he's been hurt over them even more. As much as I want to stop it, I can't, but if you do...
Orion frowned at her words. There was more to it than that. He knew it with every instinct he had. Why would she tell him that now unless it had something to do with her guilt?
You're the reason, aren't you?
What do you mean?
Orion was incredulous as he put the pieces together in his mind.
Those powers that allowed you to drain a god. Somehow they're the same ones that created the Dark Hunters, aren't they?
She didn't have to answer. The horrified expression on her face confirmed it, the guilt in her eyes.
You didn't mean to do that either.
Tears filled her eyes.
We all make mistakes, Orion. Can you imagine what an incredible world this would be if we didn't have to spend the rest of our lives paying for them?
Those words bit to the core of his soul and struck the mark she wanted them to.
Welcome to adulthood, princess. The time in our lives when we no longer have parents to scare the monsters out from under our beds. Rather, we realize that we're the monsters who live under everyone else's.
June 1st, AD 780.
Zen!
Orion was nearly hysterical as he searched for his dragon. There was no sign of her. He'd waited all night at their rendezvous, and she'd never shown. So he'd done what he wasn't supposed to do, come to her bower. By the looks of it, she hadn't been here in a long, long time. A thick layer of dust covered everything, even the bed. And that wasn't like her. She was a meticulous housekeeper. This time, there were no notes, no gifts, nothing. She was gone without a trace, without a word. It was as if she never existed. Tears blurred his vision. Saraxin wouldn't do this to him. She wouldn't. Of all the creatures in the universe, she knew how much he needed her. That she was the one thing he relied on, his only tenderness. And if she wasn't here, and this place was in this condition, it could mean only one thing. She was dead. His knees buckled. Orion hit the floor as he choked on a sob. Of all the deaths, and there had been so many in his lifetime, this one was the hardest to bear. He pressed his fist to his mouth and sank his fangs into it. How could she be gone? In that moment, he wanted to join her. Truly, he couldn't think of a single reason not to. What was he fighting for at this point? They had no hope of breaking this curse, of seeing daylight. His father was a fool for even thinking it, damned and cursed, forever banished to darkness. Closing his eyes, he tried not to think of the night he'd watched Jairus die by the hands of a Dark Hunter, the pain-filled look on his son's face when he'd been unable to reach him in time, that panic and fear an instant before he'd shattered into dust. Or Nefele, who'd gone too long without a soul. She'd been sitting right beside him when she just burst apart. To this day, Orion didn't know if she'd simply been inattentive to the signs that she needed to replenish or if it had been a form of suicide. If it had, she wasn't the only daemon to do so. It was so common, they even had a name for it. Santribo. That moment, when they just became too tired to continue. When the voices wore them down and the deaths of those around them were more than they could contend with. When they felt just like he did right now. Life was too harsh and they just gave up. Lifting his knees, Orion cradled his head with his arms and wept. Not for himself, but for those he loved. Gods, it hurt so much, so deep, and he was so tired of it. How could he hope now? The last bit of his kindness and goodness was gone. Without her, he had nothing. He was nothing. His body shaking, he stared with blurry vision at the Dakruan that were tattooed along his hand and forearm in intricate patterns. Black teardrops to mark the deaths of everyone he loved. There were so goddamn many. Now there would be one more. He drew a ragged breath as his gaze went to the phoenix on his shield. He bore that same mark on his biceps. His totem animal. From this too, I will rise. Though he didn't know how, he couldn't imagine how, but he would. Zin would be the first to kick his ass. We are warriors. And his dragon wouldn't have given her heart to anything but the strongest of the strong. You cannot break me, he whispered. I'm already shattered. October 3rd, AD 801. Spawn, Paris, and Davin sat across from Orion as they watched the intriguing crowd around them. The Varangians in particular held their interest, as they were known to have some of the strongest souls in the bunch. I thought the Ruse were supposed to rape and pillage, Spawn muttered irritably as he watched them carouse and revel in friendly camaraderie. Paris snorted. You can always go Cassandrian. I won't tell. Cassandrians were the branch of daemons who lacked all semblance of decency or ethics. They didn't care who or what they preyed upon. Even children and pregnant women were fair game, and they were a pariah to all the rest of them, which meant Paris was joking. No one could stand a Cassandrian. To prey on a pregnant woman or child was forbidden to them. They were exiled and turned out immediately, much like a Trelos. The only difference being that a Trelos couldn't control their behavior. A Cassandrian knew exactly what they were doing. They just didn't care. Nothing mattered except their own petty selfishness. Truly, they were disgusting creatures, and because of the way they fed, they smelled bad, too. Orion wore many hats in their world. As a warrior, he was considered a Spati, and since he led groups into battle, he was a Regus. Because they targeted primarily Dark Hunters and the squires who served them, that made him and his soldiers Dikisi daemons. But the two titles that would make anyone other than the three daemons at the table with him scorn him if they knew were that of Animikos and Akilos. Akilos were daemons who only preyed on human souls that were corrupt, the very kind that often led them into turning their species into Trelos daemons. And Animikos were those like Davin, who fed from Paris, daemons who fed other daemons, those who didn't kill at all. They split the souls with their partners. It was actually very sweet what his brother had with Davin. While Davin couldn't kill to eat, he could kill to protect Paris, without hesitation and with extreme prejudice. And speaking of which, Orion didn't mind killing to live. He felt his powers surge as the acolytes they were seeking came in. The other line of Apollo. Two sons. One was already a daemon, but the other was on their list. He passed a knowing look to Spawn. How are you? I could stand a charge. Then you can have the daemon. As they started to rise, a Norseman approached them. Leaving? Orion nodded. The large, burly, dark-haired man grinned.
Hey, Wolf, over here.
Another huge Norseman inclined his head to Orion as he brushed past.
Enough, Eric. Tryggvason. By the gods, you're too loud, brother.
Ignoring them, Orion headed after their prey. October 7th, 1988. Orion's head pounded from the voices that screamed louder and louder. It drummed to the point that he felt as if he were about to go insane and turn mad. Standing on the edge of a rooftop, he pressed his fingers to his temple, tempted to step over the edge and end his suffering. Nights like this, it'd be real easy, especially the way the frigid wind whipped through his sweater and long leather coat. Blinking fast, he shook his head and forced himself to focus. With a sigh, he jumped down the fire escape and was about to case the building when all of a sudden he almost landed on top of one of his targets. With a startled gasp, the woman looked up, shielding her face.
Well, this wasn't supposed to happen.
Stunned, he wasn't sure what to say or do as he stared into a pair of dark brown eyes set into a perfectly sculpted face. Her golden blonde hair was stylishly cut and framed her features in a way that made them appear strangely elvish. Up close, she was tiny and frail in appearance, much younger than he'd have thought, but still a woman full grown, and she blushed.
Sorry, I thought I was the only one sneaking out.
Orion scowled.
What?
Wrinkling her nose in the most adorable fashion, she gestured up at the windows, then leaned forward to whisper,
I'm sneaking out past curfew to meet friends. Are you running from a boyfriend or husband who came home early?
He laughed at her presumption.
Neither.
Oh, please don't tell me you're a pervert or a burglar.
Hardly.
Although he was here to stalk her. Now that he thought about it, it was kind of pervy. Maybe he'd spoken too soon.
Then why are you on the fire escape?
Shit. He needed a viable excuse.
I'm testing it.
Testing it?
Yeah, I work for the city, and, we're conducting a safety check to make sure they're in working order. You know, can't have them faulty.
She laughed. You're so full of shit.
What makes you think that?
Midnight, and you're dressed like a Bond villain.
She let out an evil cackle. Orion wanted to hate her. He'd been sent here to kill her and her family, all of them.
She and her sisters and mother were the very last of Apollo's living line. After all these centuries of hunting and killing, they'd finally done it, finally tracked them down to the last few. And this one, I'm Phoebe Peters, by the way.
She held her hand out to him.
For the love of God, don't tell me your name.
It was just wrong when he was here to kill her.
Orion.
He even shook her hand, like an idiot.
God, I'm a moron.
Because the moment he touched that tiny little hand, he realized just how soft it was, how delicate, how good she smelled, how much he wanted to taste a piece of this most forbidden fruit, especially when she looked up at him with an adorable grin.
I'm so doomed.
And he was, especially when she bit her lip and he saw the tiniest flash of a fang.
She's your enemy.
Yet it didn't feel that way. And his body wasn't reacting to her like she was his enemy. In fact, he was harder than he'd ever been in his life.
Well, nice meeting you, Orion.
She rose up on her tiptoes, kissed him, and vanished, as if she had no clue how lethal he was.
Dismissed him.
Completely stunned, he tried to get an idea where she'd gone, but this clever little bunny had gone to ground with resounding skills.
Damn. Just damn.
He certainly couldn't report this. His father would put him through a wall. October 31st, 1988. Orion was trailing after Phoebe and her sister, Nia. He wasn't sure where they were headed. The London street wasn't too busy tonight. The faint strains of music could be heard blending in with traffic. It was so different from the old world he'd been born to. The women had just turned a corner when a shadow moved out in front of them.
Hey there, give us your purses.
Two more shadows, armed with knives, stepped in behind them. Terrified, Phoebe and Nia were trying to obey, but they were shaking so severely they could barely comply, which caused their attacker to lose patience. He slapped Phoebe. Furious, Orion rushed in before he could stop himself. He disarmed the first one he reached, kicked the second one into the wall, yet the one who'd slapped Phoebe had the audacity to actually stab him. Stab him! Hissing as his rage mounted, Orion yanked the knife from his side, turned, and grabbed the man by his throat. He slung him into the wall and would have ripped out his jugular had Nia not screeched and reminded him that they were in a public place, and this might not be a good idea. Phoebe rushed forward.
Orion, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God, thank you.
Similar in looks, but not quite as pretty, Nia gaped at them.
You know him. I met him a couple of weeks ago.
She cast him a devilish grin.
We just kind of randomly ran into each other.
Well, I'm definitely glad you ran into him tonight. Yeah. Me too. Her smile turned luminescent and did awkward things to his body in spite of the pain he was in. You're my hero, Orin. And before he realized what she intended, she kissed him. This wasn't just any kiss, it set him on fire. For reasons he couldn't even begin to explain, she tasted like home. Pulling back, he stared down at her until he heard the police sirens.
Shite, I have to go.
Nia gaped. You're wounded. It didn't matter. Orion stepped back into the darkness, taking a second to take one last lingering look at Phoebe. In the moonlight, she was exquisite. Until then, he hadn't realized how numb he'd become without Zin around to remind him how precious life was, how good things could be. Forget the soul exchange he had to have with humans. Her kiss was the souchet, the breath of life.
Damn shame, I'm gonna have to kill her.
November 15th, 1988.
Okay, now this is getting creepy. Are you stalking me? Should I think about getting a restraining order?
Orion froze as Phoebe grabbed him from behind as he stood in the alley near her building. Her humor and nerve amazed him. No one was ever this forward where he was concerned. Most wet their pants if he so much as glanced in their direction.
Are you not afraid of me?
Should I be? I mean, I was joking about the restraining order, but should I call a lawyer?
He laughed.
You do know that I'm a daemon, right?
That finally seemed to catch her off guard. She even took a step back.
Are you?
He opened his mouth to show her his fangs. Like an intrepid child, she reached up to touch them.
Mine aren't that large. You think it's because my father's human?
Wow. He couldn't believe her grit.
You're really not afraid of me at all, are you?
She shrugged.
I like people. Even daemons.
That shocked him most of all.
Met a lot of us, have you?
Not really. Most of the ones I've met have tried to kill me, but you saved my life, so I'm assuming you're not one of those. You're not one of those, are you?
He was definitely one of those, and yet something about her innocence reached out and wrapped itself around a heart he'd thought was long dead. Worse, it made him strangely protective of her. In a weird way, she reminded him of Nefele and his niece that he'd inherited after Theo's death, one he'd carefully watched over and taken care of until she'd been slaughtered by Asheron's bastard hunters.
I'm definitely something that goes bump in the night.
She laughed at his bad double entendre.
You know, lines like that will get you friend-zoned.
He gave her his most charming grin.
Will they?
Big time.
Don't tease her, she's an infant. He was thousands of years old. In comparison to his ancient age, she'd only been alive for 5 minutes. A gross exaggeration, but not really. It was a fair comparison, all things considered. And still neither his heart nor his body listened. They were asking for the impossible.
Her. You're an idiot.
There was no arguing that, especially when she reached for him. Terrified of what he might do, he did the one thing he'd never done in his life. He turned and ran. Phoebe scowled at the sight of the man rushing off. Again. It was the damnedest thing. On the one hand, he seemed to always be interested, and then on the other, he was as skittish as a brand new colt.
Men.
She'd never understand them. They were all so weird. Her sisters were right. It was something with that broken Y chromosome. Shaking her head, she sighed and went into the condo where they were temporarily staying. Then again, that was all they ever did. She couldn't really remember ever having a real home. Because she and her sisters were the last of Apollo's line, they had been hunted since birth by all kinds of daemons and demons who thought that if they killed them off, it would end the Appellite curse. How stupid was that? A part of her was tempted to tell her mother about the daemon. In the past, she would have done so without hesitation, but Phoebe knew exactly what it would mean, leaving immediately. They wouldn't even take time to pack. Her mother and father were so incredibly paranoid. All they did was tighten the noose around her neck. All their necks. What if he's one of the ones hunting you? But then why would he have saved them? No, she didn't believe that. There was something about him that seemed kind and sweet. She didn't know what, but Phoebe saw something different whenever she looked at him. He wasn't a monster. Orion was... She couldn't find words, but she wanted to see him again. Orion sighed as he met his father's gaze, while Stryker sat on his throne in a disgruntled peak. They're not as easy to get to as you'd think. They're under a lot of security. His father's nostrils twitched.
Take more men. I want them dead.
I'd rather keep a lower profile at the moment. It's just a matter of time. His father actually growled at him.
Don't fail me, Orion. We've come too far and we're too close.
He pushed down the urge to bristle under his father's swirling silver gaze. I won't fail. Besides, their enemies were closer than ever before. Helios was still trying to take down Apollo, even though he and his siblings and all their children were considered dead now since they were daemons. Orion didn't know why, other than perhaps spite. But he was growing tired of the fighting and the games. Bowing to his father, he left and headed home. Davin met him outside the Great Hall on the street.
You all right?
No, but he didn't want to confide in his friend right now. Fine. You don't look fine. Davin would know. Orion gave him a droll stare. Why are you annoying me?
I like to annoy you. Besides, I know the look on your face.
What look?
The one that says you have someone.
Orion stopped dead in his tracks as horror pounded through him. This was one secret he couldn't afford to let anyone know. Not even Davin.
Pardon?
You heard me. Who is she?
Orion shook his head.
You're wrong. I have no one.
Davin caught his arm and held him in place.
Don't, Orion. This is me you're talking to. Just like when Paris was afraid to tell your father about us because he didn't know how he'd react. Just like when you were afraid to tell anyone about Zin. I know you better than anyone. Who is she?
Damn it to hell. Davin was a little ferret, and whenever he had something like this, he was fixated. Either Orion told him, or he'd have no peace. Glancing about, Orion drew in a sharp breath.
That, I can't tell anyone, not even you.
Did she make you happy?
He laughed bitterly.
I don't know.
I've barely spoken to her, but then... I guess the question is if anything in life ever makes anyone truly happy.
No, Ori, that's not the question. The question is, can you live without her?
Orion glanced down to all the teardrops on his arm and hand that marked all the people he'd loved and lost over the centuries, including his twin. Of all the losses, Paris has had hurt the most. He still couldn't bear to think of it. And he knew how hard that death had been for Davin. To this night, Davin had never been able to take another husband, had never even tried to find someone else, because no one could replace Paris. Each death had been a gut wound, each one a laceration to his heart that Orion had never thought to survive. Yet here he was, numb and not.
Damn you, life. Damn you straight to hell.
You really want to make that comment to me? Davin placed his hand over Orion's tattoos and gave a hard squeeze.
How about this then, Orion? Surely, after all you've sacrificed and done for your people, after all you've lost in your lifetime, don't you think you deserve for the heavens to send down an angel to finally save you?
November 29th, 1988. At midnight, Orion tapped on Phoebe's bedroom window. Dressed in a pink dorm shirt and thick yellow bathrobe, she pulled back the curtains to see him there. Her eyes widened. Then she immediately let out a squeak and ran to a mirror to check her hair, while he waited outside. Baffled, he watched her quickly brush her hair, remove a retainer, and then sniff daintily at her armpits. Then, remembering that he could see her, she covered her face with her hands and appeared mortified. He laughed at her antics, though why he found them so funny, he had no idea. Not to mention, he was surprised that she could see her reflection while he and his kind couldn't. It must be because she was part human that she didn't have that part of their Appellite curse. Slowly, she made her way back to the window and opened it.
Tell me that you didn't see what I just did?
Orion laughed again.
No worries. I didn't see you sniff anything.
Oh my God!
She began repeating that in an endless loop. He scowled at her.
Did I break you? Are you stuck like that? Should I thump you out of that rut?
She stopped and turned back to face him. What?
At least that worked.
Cocking her head, she stared at him. Why are you still hovering on the fire escape?
I have no choice. You haven't invited me in.
Oh!
Then her eyes widened even more as she remembered he was a daemon. She glanced around her room for a second, as if debating whether she should break protocol. Finally, she bit her lip and whispered, "Come in." Orion slowly entered her bedroom. It had been a long time since he'd been inside the home of anyone else. As a daemon, he didn't get to randomly venture into many places, only those that were public domain or homes of friends and family. This one was very different from anything he'd been in before. Decorated in tans and pinks, it was very feminine, right down to the posters of boy bands that littered the walls.
Interesting wallpaper. Duran Duran?
New Moon on Monday is my all-time favorite song. Do you like them?
Not really. More of a Crocus Screaming in the Night or Eat the Rich or a Sex Pistols Anarchy in the UK kind of guy.
She nodded. Ah, that makes sense, being a daemon and all.
A sharp knock sounded on her door.
Phoebes?
She motioned him to silence.
Yeah, Mom? Who are you talking to?
She ran to her door and cracked it open.
Myself, sorry, I'll go to bed. Didn't mean to keep you up. Love you.
She kissed her mom's cheek, then closed and locked the door. After taking a small detour to turn on her radio, she returned to Orion and pulled him as far away from the door as she could. His heart pounded to be this close to her while she wore so little, and he couldn't help wondering if she had on anything beneath her dorm shirt. There, in the dim light, they stood, not touching, with barely a hand's breadth of distance between them. Orion kept his hands to his sides, and yet he could feel every inch of her body with his. Her presence was so vibrant that it was like an all-over caress. Her dark eyes sparkled as she looked up at him with wonder and excitement. How strange that he who had lived for so long and had done so much evil in the name of his father felt suddenly reborn in those eyes. Felt recast as something other than what he was, a monster who killed innocent people in order to live. Yet Phoebe didn't see a daemon to be feared or a demon to be hated. Phoebe saw a man, a hero. God, how he wanted to be that, to see the good in others, even though he knew them for the evil they were. To be anything other than the shattered, unfeeling shell who'd been walking this earth for so long, hurting and aching and lost. Wanting to feel something more than abandoned and forgotten. Wanting to be part of someone. To be loved and claimed. It had been so long since anyone had really cared. Unable to resist her or the part of him that was still human, he reached for his last lifeline and pulled her against his chest for the one true Suchet. Phoebe closed her eyes as she tasted a passion the likes of which she'd never imagined. This was what she'd read about in those books Nia kept hidden from their mother. What the poets went mad trying to capture on paper. The passion that Hollywood never quite got right. Savoring the taste and smell of her beautiful daemon, she reached up and freed his white blonde hair so that it fell loose about his shoulders.
Then she buried her hands in it. Holy heaven! He was gorgeous beyond compare. Every part of her was on fire as she felt that hard, honed body flexing around hers. He buried his lips against her throat as he picked her up and pressed her back against the wall. Phoebe lifted her legs from the floor and wrapped them about his waist as chills ran up and down her entire body. She was on fire. Until he sank his fangs into her neck. The moment he did that, her body exploded with pleasure, the likes of which was indescribable. She shook from the force of her very first orgasm. Orion growled as he tasted her pleasure. Wanting more of that sweetness, he slid his hand down under her shirt and beneath the elastic band of her panties to the sweet moisture so that he could stroke her and let her ride his fingers while he fed. Phoebe groaned as he worked magic on her. Wanting more, she moved to bite him. Orion immediately withdrew. No! Panting and shaking, she stepped to the other side of the room. Every bit as disoriented, she scowled at him. Why did you stop? If you bite me, you'll become a daemon. He wiped at the sweat on his brow. You can feed me, but I can't feed you. That's not fair.
Welcome to Colossus, he said bitterly. That's where I live.
He headed for the window. Orion, wait!
No, Phoebe.
He glanced to her door.
This is a mistake. Everything I touch, I destroy. And I don't want to destroy you. Not anymore. Not even if his father killed him for it. And he would.
March 4th, 1989. Stryker paced his office furiously. His commanders were gathered there as he reamed them all, including Orion. They're mortal. Mere acolytes, how in the name of Hades can they continue to elude my best strike teams? You are Illuminati, are you not?
Allegra and Thratis turned away. Orion met his gaze without flinching, mostly because he was the reason. He'd personally killed two of the daemons his father had sent after Phoebe, but he wasn't about to tell him that. His father would gut him on the spot. He curled his lips at them.
Get out of my sight!
Orion headed out the doors, but not before Thrates took his arm.
Why are they failing?
Orion shrugged, as he gave Thrates a reason other than the truth, that he'd killed them. Jefferson Peters has a lot of resources. He's spending them all to protect his daughters.
Thrates shook his head.
It doesn't make sense.
Life seldom does. And that was an understatement, especially here lately. Nothing about his life made any kind of sense at all. He was living all kinds of lies and having to hide from everyone around him. Apollyme, his father, even Davin. Whenever he was away from Phoebe, he began to doubt his sanity for throwing his life into this kind of chaos. And for what? They hadn't even slept together. Then, just when he had himself convinced that he would sever the ties and break it off, he'd see her and all rationale fled. One smile, one frown, he was undone, and her tears absolutely devastated him. I'm so screwed. Sighing, he stepped into the portal and headed to Zurich. Phoebe had sent over a vax note with her new address a short time ago. Her parents would kill her if they knew what she was doing. That she was sending their updated addresses to the very leader of the group out to kill them all. But it was a risk they were both willing to take. Orion straightened his jacket the minute he was out of the portal, and in Zurich, he checked the time.
Here, you little inkblot!
A tick started in his jaw as he heard that lovely little insult some jack-off dark hunter had come up with for them, thinking it was cute. It stemmed from the dark mark over their heart from the souls. Pursing his lips, Orion crossed his arms and turned toward the tall, muscular beast and let out a bored sigh.
One, did you burn out your last remaining brain cell coming up with that one?
The Dark Hunter flicked his wrist to release a spring-loaded dagger.
Here, I thought I'd have a long patrol tonight. Where are your friends?
Got bored. Ate them. Decided I'd troll for bottom feeders, and I found you. Lowest of the low. Lucky me. The Dark Hunter lunged at him. Orion tisked.
What? Are you rusty or new?
Shrieking in rage, he countered with an upward cut.
Orion blocked it with his hands and used his toes to release the dagger in his boot. He scissor-kicked the Dark Hunter and slashed him across the chest. He hissed in pain and staggered back. You might want to call your squire and let him know you won't be coming home. The Dark Hunter rushed him. Orion released his razor wire from his vambrace and caught him around the neck. With one twist and sidestep, he snapped the Dark Hunter's head from his body. Luckily, they tended to decay almost as fast as a daemon. They just left a bigger pile of dust that quickly blew away. Sorry, Orion sighed as he knelt down to collect the hunter's weapon and ID. He always made sure to notify the squire's council that oversaw Dark Hunter care whenever they killed one, so that they'd know who died. It was an odd thing to do, but he felt like he owed it to them. While Dark Hunters didn't have families per se, they did have squires and other hunters who were attached to them. The worst thing in the world was not to know what happened to someone you loved, to be left waiting for them to come home again. His stomach grew tight as he thought about Zin. Even after all these years, centuries, he still missed her and wondered what had happened. If maybe by some miracle, one day he'd pass her on the street. It was stupid, but he couldn't help it. The not knowing was its own form of hell, and that endless, miserable hope. Yeah, he couldn't do that to someone else. So he always made sure to let them know they had a hunter KIA. As a soldier, he considered it an act of mutual respect for a comrade in arms. While they might be enemies, they were both fighting for what they thought was right, both protecting what they loved. Orion looked at the hunter's license to see his grim smile. Cuthbert Rorikson. Yeah, he looked like a Viking bastard from back in the day. Remembering how they'd been in more primitive times, he slid the license and sword into his pocket and drifted back into the darkness. By the time he finally found Phoebe's new apartment, it was late. He'd expected to have to try to find a way to get her attention. Instead, she was on the street and almost ran into him in her mindless rush to nowhere in particular. Hey, what's going on? She threw herself against him. Take me home with you, now! Orion held her against his chest and scowled. Okay, sure. My father would probably eat you alive, but sure. I could do that for you if suicide is really what you're looking for. She hit his chest with her fist, not hard enough to hurt, but just out of frustration. I don't want to stay here, Ori, I'm done! Seriously concerned, he cupped her face in his hands. What's going on? With a ragged sigh, she gestured back toward the apartment building she'd been fleeing. You don't know what it's like to have so many rules and dictates all the time. I live under a microscope. I can't change my mind without permission. Yeah, no idea what that's like at all. His voice dripped sarcasm. She glared at him. Not the same. He arched a smug brow at her. Don't look so gorgeous at me. I'm not in the mood. Be angry on my behalf. He bared his fangs. She laughed and hugged him. Closing his eyes as he sighed in contentment, Orion cuddled her close and rested his chin against her head. Is it really that bad? Yes. They want me to wear body armor.
I want you to wear body armor.
Not funny.
Dead serious.
He could actually feel Phoebe rolling her eyes against his chest.
So where were you heading just now?
She pulled back to glare up at him. You're not really going to lecture me too, are you?
Of course I am.
Don't make me rack you. I'm a lot closer to your balls right now, buddy.
Well, if that's what it takes to get you to touch them.
She gaped at him. You did not just go there while we're arguing.
I'm a man, of course I went there.
And it's not my fault, anyway.
You're the one who brought my balls into it first.
She wrinkled her nose. I did, didn't I?
Yeah.
His voice dropped an octave. Not that it was his fault. Unlike him, she could eat real food and take transfusions for her blood cravings. Since they'd started seeing each other, he'd stopped feeding from anyone other than Phoebe. And since he couldn't see her every day, it meant that when he did get to see her, he was starving. Like now. Phoebe bit her lip. I have bad news, by the way.
What?
I have to share a room with my sister in the new apartment. It's tiny.
That was bad news.
But, she jerked her chin down the street in the direction she'd been headed,
I found a hotel nearby.
So you did have a destination.
Of course, I'm not completely stupid. I am a Peters, you know. Armed with a credit card and ready to charge like a demon. She winked. Checked in earlier today. She pulled the key out of her pocket and handed it to him. Room 1452.
All right. I still worry about you.
Good, because I worry about you. When he went to drape his arm around her shoulders, she gasped. Is that blood? Too late, Orion realized he'd left a little Dark Hunter DNA on his sleeve.
Maybe.
Yours? He started to lie, but she was the one person he didn't want to lie to.
No.
Her eyes flared with fury. Who was she, huh? She shoved him back. Now there was a place he hadn't expected her mind to go. Stunned, he gaped at her accusation that reminded him a lot of one of Xanthia's irrational rants.
She was a he, and he tried to kill me on my way over.
He pulled the ID out of his pocket to show it to her. Now he was twice as grateful he'd gone to the trouble of getting it. A huge Dark Hunter bastard. Was he really 6'9"? 300 pounds?
Sounds about right. Though that was muscle weight. He had arms like tree trunks.
He could have crushed you.
Trust me, I know. I had a brother about his size. Ophi used to sit on me for hours just to piss me off when we were kids. Him and Archie both would take turns slinging me around the yard like a rag doll.
Reaching up, she pulled his lips to hers. I'm sorry, baby. I didn't mean to get so angry. I just can't stand the thought of you with another woman.
I would never do that to you.
With a smile, she nibbled his lips. Take me to the room. Orion was tempted to use his powers, but since he'd never been in the hotel before, that was a bad idea. His luck, he'd land them inside a wall or something a lot worse. So he had to pretend he was human.
God, the horror of that.
But at least she'd chosen an elegant hotel. Victorian in style, it was quaint and lush. Orion expected Phoebe to lead him to a regular room. Instead, she'd booked the penthouse suite. While it was true that he'd grown up in a palace and a temple, they were rather cold and austere. He'd never seen anything like the luxuries in this place, nor lights so bright. He held his hand up to shield his eyes as they watered in protest of the giant crystal chandelier. Sorry! Phoebe immediately began turning lights down or off. I forgot how sensitive your eyes are. Orion rubbed his eyes as he walked around.
What is that?
She scowled at him. The couch?
Yeah. Is it a bed?
Phoebe was stunned until she realized something. You don't ever stay out in my world, do you?
What do you mean?
Just what I said. You visit here to nab a soul and then immediately leave, don't you? You've never watched TV or really taken time to experience any real part of it. He shook his head. Her heart broke for him. All the history he'd lived through, but not experienced. Heartbroken, she reached for the remote and turned the television on. To that, he gave her an irritated glare.
I know about TV, Phoebs. Not an idiot. They have those everywhere, even bars.
Oh. Yeah, that would be the one place he'd have spent a lot of time.
Durr.
She should have thought of that. She felt like a fool now. Until she thought of one thing she knew they didn't have in a bar. Bet you've never had a jacuzzi bath.
What?
Yeah. A what? Crooking her finger, she motioned for him to follow her. She also watched the way his gorgeous blues darted around the moldings and art as well as the wall decorations. He ran his finger down the gold flocked wallpaper to the marble bathroom, where he gasped,
yeah, indoor plumbing.
He cast her another droll stare. Okay, so you've probably visited a men's room, too.
A few times, yeah.
But not this. She plugged the tub and began to run water from the ornate faucet shaped like a swan. While it ran, she turned on music through the intercom and began to slowly peel her clothes off. If she lived to be 1,000 years old, she'd never forget the look on his face as he stood in the doorway, completely catatonic. Laughing, she approached him and hooked her fingers into the belt loops of his jeans. Karante got your tongue?
Orion had no response, as she slowly unzipped his pants. Her pace was excruciating, and when she dipped her hand down low to cup him, he thought he'd die on the spot. He couldn't remember the last time a woman had touched him so intimately. Decades? Centuries? He knew this was all kinds of wrong. Would one look in those innocent eyes? And he was lost. Laughing, she rose up to kiss him. He cupped her face and then trailed his hands down her shoulders and over her soft skin to her back and buttocks to press her closer to him so that he could feel her curves meld to his body. He leaned his head back as she peeled his coat off, then pulled his shirt off over his head. Phoebe hesitated as she saw the scars that marred the perfection of Orion's chest. She'd never seen him unclothed before, because he'd always visited her in her room. They hadn't dared. But damn, while she'd known he was battle-hardened, seeing it was a different story. There were fresh and healing bruises as well as scratches all over him. Her heart wrenched at the sight. Biting her lip, she traced them with her fingertips until she got to the Damon mark at the center of his chest over his heart. Does it hurt?
No.
It looked like a big bruise, one that was larger than her hand. No wonder it was so easy for a Dark Hunter to kill them. Do they have to pierce it in the center or just nick it anywhere? He tilted his head to look down at her hand.
You know, I've never really thought about that. Thanks, V, for giving me something else to worry about in a fight.
She laughed. Well, you do have to think about it, you know. Kissing his mark, she tongued her way across his chest to his peculiar phoenix dragon tattoo. What's this for?
My Spati unit that I lead, the Stygian Thanati.
Ooh, that sounds so impressive.
Glad you think so.
He glanced past her to the tub.
Is it supposed to do that?
She gasped as she realized it was spilling over the edge. Ah, crap, you distracted me! She ran to turn the water off and grab towels to mop up the overflow. Orion took a moment to admire the view of her bare bottom as she bent over to clean the mess. Damn, that woman had one of the nicest asses. Trying not to think about it, he went to help her mop up some of the water. But that was as useless as trying to resist her. The moment he was near her and his hand accidentally brushed hers, he was lost and he knew it. But then that had happened the moment he'd first seen her, when his father had just sent him in to slaughter her and her sisters. Just like now. One second, they were cleaning water off the floor. The next, Orion was in the tub, naked and holding her, as he fed and cradled her in his arms in the warm water. He didn't know what it was about, Phoebe, but she held magic over him. Sighing in contentment, Orion savored the sensation of her fingers playing in his wet hair while she held him nestled between her bare thighs and breasts. Orion? Blood drunk, he could barely recognize the sound of his own name on her lips. Would you let me make love to you tonight? Orion licked her neck. As he struggled for sense and control, he wanted to deny her. They were playing a dangerous game that would blow up in both their faces. He knew it. It wasn't fair to either of them. His father would kill him. But his gaze drifted over her glistening body, down her damp golden hair that curled around her impish face. Her creamy bare shoulders, where droplets of water caught and glittered like jewels on her alabaster skin. And those breasts that begged for a lover's touch. He was damned and he knew it.
Phoebe, he breathed. What if,
She kissed him to cut off his words. Not another word. She raked him with a ravenous hunger in her eyes. I promise you, I won't change my mind. Maybe not, but Orion knew this was a profoundly bad idea, in every sense of the word. If he had an ounce of decency in him, he'd get up and leave. But then he wasn't sure if he'd ever been noble or decent. If he had, those traits had died a long time ago. And before he could find some semblance of decency inside him, she became treacherous to his cause and reached down to run her hand over his chest, across his own taut nipple, dragging her nails ever so gently over his flesh. 1,000 chills erupted in the wake of her caress, burning him from the inside out. She moved her hand from his lips, then dipped her head to where she could draw his nipple into her mouth and suckle it ever so tenderly. And by that, he was undone. Orion moaned from the pleasure she gave him, especially when she dipped her hand beneath the water and cupped him there with gentle fingers that danced and played with the tenderest part of his body. Dizzy and on fire, he was past the point of rational thought. All he could think about was finally sating the deep hunger that had gnawed at him incessantly since the moment he had first seen her on that fire escape and she primly left him there. Cupping her face in his hands, he tilted her head so that he could claim her lips with his own. Brushing his fangs with her tongue, Phoebe moaned into his mouth as she continued to stroke his swollen cock with her hand. She feared she might faint as her head swam from the taste of her dangerous daemon, from the silken feel of his rigidness under her fingers. Never had she imagined what a man would feel like. He was so strangely soft and hard at the same time, like velvet stretched over steel. "You had all this planned, didn't you?" he asked with a light, humorous note in his voice. She nodded.
"What if I had turned you away?"
"I wouldn't let you," she whispered, then wrapped her arms around his neck and pulled his head to hers for another long, deep, and satisfying kiss. Orion didn't disappoint her, as he deepened his passion and kissed her until she lost breath from it. She sighed in contentment and ran her hands down his lean, hard back. Oh, but the man felt good and he tasted even better. He left her lips and trailed a scorching kiss to her neck, where he suckled and teased her flesh with his fangs and tongue. Phoebe arched her back, writhing in pleasure as his hands skimmed over her body, down her arms, over her waist, to where he cupped her hips in his hands. As he moved toward her breasts, she stopped him. He looked up with a frown. "This is my fantasy," Phoebe said with a smile. Then she forced him to the opposite end of the oversized tub and straddled his waist. Stunned and excited, Orion stared up in awe of her as he felt her hairs gently teasing the flesh of his belly.
"And just what does this so-called fantasy of yours include? Hot wax? Whips? Handcuffs?"
Blushing at his suggestions, she dipped her head toward his. And instead of giving him the kiss he expected, she lowered her mouth on his throat. Orion tensed as he felt her fangs scraping his skin.
"Don't bite me, love."
"I know. Relax. I promise I won't break the skin." Forcing himself to trust her, Orion groaned at the heat of her mouth as she slowly explored his body with her lips. Her tongue darted over the stubble of his neck, teasing and tormenting him with wave after wave of pleasure. She leaned forward until her breasts were flattened against his chest. Then she moved lower. Slowly, thoroughly, she covered his chest and arms with her scorching kisses. Phoebe savored the sounds of Orion's pleasure. She would probably be worried about her actions, given that he was a daemon, but she had made her mind up. Her life had a ticking time bomb on it. Unlike her sisters, she didn't want to get married and have kids to give them this miserable life that had been theirs. Running scared, dreading every day and night, always looking over their shoulders as they were uprooted and relocated because someone or something was trying to kill them. In spite of all their father's money, their life had been misery and fear, and she'd hated every fucking minute of it. Until Orion. For the first time in her life, she had happiness. Someone she loved.
who loved her.
With him, she felt like she belonged. And when they were apart, all she did was count down the heartbeats until she saw him again. She didn't live when he was gone. She endured. And she was over it. No, Orion was what she wanted, and she was going to do this completely and without reservations. Before this night ended, she wanted to know him from the top of his head all the way down to the bottom of his Damon toes. That thought, foremost in her mind, she began draining the water so that she could dip her mouth to the flesh of his hip bone. Orion sucked his breath in sharply between his teeth as he quivered beneath her. Phoebe laughed as she continued her relentless exploration of him. She was going to claim him tonight, and she made a vow to herself that when he left here after this, he would forever be hers and no one else's. And it must have been working, since a second later, his eyes flashed red and he transported them from the tub to the bed. Phoebe looked up with a startled gasp. How do you do that? He shrugged.
A lot of practice and a little prayer that I don't fuck it up.
Laughing, she returned to nibbling that succulent hip bone and exploring a six-pack of defined abs she didn't think a man could have unless they were airbrushed in by an artist. Orion buried his hand in Phoebe's hair as he fought the urge to take control. He wanted to be inside her so badly that he could barely stand it. It was an overwhelming craving. But he refused to take this from her, especially because it was her first time, and he wanted it to be as special as she was. She meant so much more to him than his base urges. So he would hold back, even if it killed him. And the way he felt right now, it damn well might, because this was hard, and getting harder by the minute, along with a certain piece of his anatomy. Curious and sweet, she moved her hand again to cup him as she explored his body with the inquisitiveness that was part science experiment and passion. He'd never had a lover be so strangely attentive to his body, almost as if she wanted to commit it to memory. And then to his utter amazement, she moved her head and took him fully into her mouth. With a fierce, deep growl, Orion shook all over as her tongue toyed with him. Oh, dear gods! Panting and weak, he stared in awe of her golden head buried between his thighs. To hell with this, he couldn't take it anymore. Phoebe looked up in surprise as Orion shifted his body. What was he doing? With a devilish grin, he stretched out beside her and positioned his hips even with her head. She was completely baffled by what he was doing and what he intended. His blue eyes turned warm and wicked. Don't stop, love. Before she could respond, he nudged her thighs apart and buried his lips against her. With a cry of supreme pleasure, she closed her eyes as he slid his tongue deep inside her. Dear God in heaven! It was incredulous. Never had she experienced anything like this. Forget the crap her sister read and kept shoving in her face. Nia was an idiot. Cassandra, an even bigger one. They didn't know anything about men, and she'd never listen to them again. Her head spinning from it, she opened her legs wider. He took her invitation, wanting to return the favor for him. She dipped her head and went back to what she'd been doing, because if this felt half as good to him, yeah, she wanted to keep him happy and make sure he never belonged to any woman but her again. Orion's head spun as he again felt her mouth and tongue close around him. He cupped her hips to him as he ran his tongue over her and felt her quiver in his arms. His little angel was incredible, and to think he'd actually considered killing her, you were an idiot. Yeah, he was, but then he'd never had a lot of brains to begin with. For so long now, he'd been running on empty, just doing whatever his father told him, a mindless tool that killed on command. He'd become the very thing Sheba had wanted him to be, an attack dog, Orion Deathbringer, Thanatago. But with Phoebe Peters, he was something more, something better. For the first time since Zin's death, he felt alive again. He found a reason to breathe, to get up in the evening and let himself feel real emotions. He wasn't sure if he should be grateful or curse her for it. Phoebe couldn't believe what was happening to her. Where she found the courage to do these things with a cold-blooded daemon, she didn't know. She'd been told her entire life to run from creatures like Orion, that they would kill her and her family. Yet she'd never felt safer, more wanted, or beautiful. The heat of his mouth seared her as he teased and suckled. And even more incredible was the feel of his fingers plunging inside her, in and out and around. Her body quivered and jerked as her head reeled from the sensations. She closed her eyes. It was too much for her, and just as she was sure she would die from it, her body exploded with more pleasure than she would have thought anyone could ever feel. Throwing her head back, she screamed out in release as the entire world spun around. Never, never had she experienced such a thing. And still, his tongue tormented her and made it even more intense and incredible. "Oh, God, Orion!" she gasped. He let out an evil laugh as he kissed her thigh.
"Don't think for one minute that I'm done with you, Agape Mu."
"Aga who?" he laughed.
"Agape Mu. My love."
Closing her eyes, she savored every syllable. "I love your accent so much. You speak and I melt." He rose up between her legs and positioned his body over her. Phoebe reached up and buried her hands in his hair as he used his knees to spread her legs wider. Cupping her face with his hand, Orion kissed her tenderly, then gently plunged himself deep inside. Phoebe froze as pain overrode her pleasure. "Yuri,
shh, Agape Mui,"
he whispered against her lips.
"Give it a second."
He leaned back ever so slightly and reached his hand down between their bodies so that he could stroke her and help her focus on something else. Phoebe bit her lip as she quickly forgot the pain while he gently toyed with her body, building her pleasure again. Instinctively, she rubbed herself against him, impaling herself even more deeply than before. Orion sighed in pleasure as she began moving against him.
"That's it,"
he breathed, closing his eyes to savor the warm, tight heat of her body around his. His breathing ragged, he let her take control of the moment as she milked his body with hers. Opening his eyes, he watched the wonder play out on her face. Yeah. She liked being in charge, probably because she'd had so little control over anything else in her life. Her parents never let her have any decision about anything. Even her foods were tasted before they trusted her to eat them. She lived her entire life in a vacuum and under scrutiny, so he let her have this one. Smiling, Orion rolled over without withdrawing from her. In awe of this new vantage point, Phoebe groaned as she found herself on top of him. She wiggled her hips at the strange sensation of his body inside hers and between her legs. His eyes dark and gentle, he reached up and cupped her breasts in his hands. Smiling even wider, she covered his hands with her own, then lifted her body up, drawing herself down his cock. And then his hand returned to cup between her legs as she rode him hard and fast. And this time when she came, he joined her with a deep, guttural growl that left her a little scared for a second. But after a second, she realized that he wasn't going to harm her, and she relaxed again, sated and exhausted. Phoebe stretched out on his chest and simply enjoyed the feel of his arms around her as his breath stirred her hair. Orion leaned his head back, shaken by what had occurred between them. Her passion humbled him. But worse, he was far from sated. If anything, he wanted more than he ever had before, because now that he'd tasted the catateris that was Phoebe, he knew she truly had no equal. And that scared the colossus out of him. Phoebe lifted her head up to look down at him. "Is something wrong?" she asked, her brows drawn together into a deep V. Shaking his head, he ran his hands over her back. It wasn't really a lie. In truth, things had never been more right. And likewise, they had never, ever been more wrong. Because in the back of his mind, he couldn't stop thinking about the fact that if his father ever learned about this, he would kill them both. August 8th, 1990. They were going to kill Phoebe. Orion was frantic to get to her and warn her. He'd been trying to call her, but some asshole was on the phone and wouldn't get off the line. He tried to have the operator break through, and whoever it was had rudely refused. It's not an emergency. Tell my sister's boyfriend he can wait. When he got his hands on Cassandra, he was going to beat the hell out of her. And since he was trapped until nightfall, there was nothing he could do. He didn't dare go to Apollome or try to use her mirror for fear of her telling his father either. Damn it! This had been the longest day of his life. By the time the sun set and he could leave, he felt as if he'd been flayed alive. He headed straight to her apartment. Normally, he'd never approach her door. He called from a payphone with a pre-designed ring code, and she'd come out to meet him. But he was too scared to wait. As he ran down her street, a car passed him, and someone inside it waved at him. Too late, he realized it was Phoebe. Panting and terrified, he stopped dead in his tracks. Phoebe! He projected his thoughts. Stop the car! Get out! The car exploded in a bright burst of light, raining shrapnel through the neighborhood and knocking him from his feet. Temporarily blinded and with his ears ringing, Orion lay on the sidewalk, stunned. No. No. That didn't just happen. It couldn't have. His heart pounded so fast and furiously that he couldn't breathe. Pain and grief racked him. They left him paralyzed and shredded until he heard the tiniest whimpering sound. Phoebe? He wiped at his tears and teleported to the wreckage, not giving a fuck who saw him. His stomach heaved at the sight of the mangled bodies. Please don't be my Phoebe.
Ori?
He turned to find her a few feet away. His world stopped as he realized that the blast had thrown her from the car into a nearby pole. He ran to her side and knelt down to pull her into his arms. She was bleeding profusely. While it might not have killed her on detonation, it was killing her slowly. There was no way she'd survive. There was too much damage. Every daemon instinct he had told him that. He could hear her vitals slowing. It was what allowed him to know the precise moment when he could take over a soul to feed on it.
Phoebe.
She was so weak, she could barely focus on his face.
Marry me.
With the tiniest laugh, she nodded and gasped. Knowing she was too weak to bite him on her own, Orion used his fangs to rip into his own wrist and held it to her lips. He lifted her up so that she could drink his blood. At first he thought he'd lost her, that he'd waited too long or not gotten there in time, but after a few seconds, he felt her grip tighten, felt her lips strengthen as she sucked and licked harder. His arm began to glow. Too late, he remembered that he'd had the power to save her life without resorting to this. Damn it! Why hadn't he thought of that? He hadn't used those powers in centuries, so used to hiding what he could do because of the way the others reacted, he'd all but forgotten them. I'm so sorry, Phoebe. In that moment, he hated himself. He'd turned her into a monster for nothing.
Orion?
Heartbroken, he brushed the blood from her lips with his thumb. I'm right here.
Where's my mother and sister?
He shielded her eyes from their bodies.
They didn't make it, sweetie.
Tears welled in her eyes. Sirens began to wail, and too late, Orion realized the size of the crowd around them, all staring. The prudent thing would be to try a spell or fuck it. Let the human mind rationalize it as space aliens or whatever psychosis they wanted to name it. Mass hysteria, hallucination. They had more excuses than stars in the heavens. It wasn't his concern. Phoebe was. His only concern was making sure she didn't get taken to a hospital where they wouldn't understand her now daemon blood. So with that thought, he used his powers to teleport her to the one place he knew she'd be safe. the only place where his father couldn't find her or hurt her. Elysia. The minute they made an appearance inside the secure underground facility, alarms went off. Orion cringed at the piercing shriek that threatened to shatter his already abused eardrums. Phoebe covered her ears and cringed against his shoulder. Brayden, along with 24 guards, came running with weapons drawn to surround him. Orion took their panic in stride.
Well, I'd put my hands up, but I don't think Phoebe would appreciate it.
Brayden rolled his eyes. Jeez, Ori, what are you doing here?
I've come to ask a favor, and I need a doctor.
Brayden's gaze went to Phoebe.
You know our laws.
And I know what you owe me. You know what you owe me. I need this from you. Don't make me beg. Worse, don't make me angry.
Brayden only hesitated for 3 heartbeats before he nodded, then motioned for the guards to lay aside their weapons.
Follow me.
Orion glanced down at Phoebe as she began whimpering in pain.
Stay with me. Agape muy.
My head hurts so much.
She twisted her fist in his shirt.
I know, it's the soul. Just breathe through it.
Once they reached the infirmary, Orion followed Brayden into a room in the back and laid her down on the hospital bed. He stepped back as a stern-looking female doctor came in.
We don't treat demons.
Brayden snorted.
You will treat this one.
Why is he so special?
He built the facility you're standing in.
Her jaw went slack.
Excuse me?
Hands on hips, Orion smirked.
You heard him. I'll kick your ass if you don't.
She gaped.
Yeah, you heard me. I bought into equal rights. You're an Appleite, means you're more than capable of fighting back, and my fiancé's life means a lot more to me than yours does. Save it or lose your own.
Irritated at him, she reached for a pair of latex gloves and made a grand show of putting them on before she went to tend to Phoebe.
Is he always that big a dick?
No,
Phoebe said, panting and weak.
Sometimes he's worse.
That succeeded in making the doctor laugh. Shaking her head, she forgot about Orion as she began tending to Phoebe's injuries, which was more than fine with him. Satisfied that the doctor wouldn't hurt her, he left them alone and stepped outside the room to speak with Brayden. Tall and blonde, he was almost even in height with Orion, like almost all Appleites. Since they were direct descendants of Apollo, the blonde hair was almost always a staple, though through the centuries, some of them, such as Phoebe's family, had married humans or other creatures, so it wasn't unheard of to meet an Appleite with reddish hair or even a brunette. Still, it wasn't considered normal for an Appleite to be anything other than blonde, and they were almost always tall and brown-eyed. Brayden and his kinsmen had been civic leaders here in Elysia since Orion and Davin had helped them establish the huge underground bunker back in the early days of America, back when Theo's daughter had fallen in love with an Appleite who had wanted a safe haven for his family to hide. Because they were Cult of Pollux followers, Orion had known better than to ask his father about bringing them into Colossus. Since the night they'd mourned Tanis, the COP had been banned from their domain, and if anyone mentioned it to Stryker, they came up short a pair of fangs and testicles. Because he and Davin had helped them establish their city and were quick to come if they had any kind of trouble with daemons who didn't abide by their laws, they were given special privileges, like being able to come here even though daemons were banned. Orion arched a brow at him.
Aren't you gonna ask what you're gonna ask?
What do you mean?
I know you heard what Phoebe is to me. Aren't you curious?
Brayden nodded.
That and why you brought her here.
Because if I take her home, my father will kill her.
Orion let out a tired breath.
In all these centuries, I've never asked for anything or any kind of payment. I'm asking now.
You know it's forbidden.
So is my helping you, yet here I am.
He gave Brayden a pointed stare. At least he had the good sense to look shamefaced.
Come on, Brayden. I know you have the ability to bend some of the rules. Phoebe's harmless. She's never taken a soul, and she never will. I swear to you, she's half human.
More a babe than the infants here. She's not even tasted blood to live on, not until tonight, when I forced her to drink mine to save her life. His eyes widened. Half human? He nodded. Another reason I don't dare take her near Colossus. Brayden didn't say a word. He headed straight into the room. Orion went after him. The doctor had Phoebe covered by a sheet. She was still pale, but some of her wounds were beginning to heal. However, the doctor held a peculiar expression on her face. Millicent, she's part human, she blurted out, cutting him off. She met Orion's gaze with an incredulous gape. You saved the life of a half-human Appellite?
I love her.
That's what she said. And I told her you were a bastard. Then she quickly informed me that I didn't know you at all. He didn't know why, but those words sent a warmth through him, the likes of which he'd never known before.
Is she going to be okay?
She shouldn't be. I don't know what's in your blood, boy, but yeah. I think she'll pull through. Brayden crossed his arms over his chest. You think she's dangerous? Millicent didn't hesitate with her answer. No, not at all. She strikes me as the kind of person who picks a spider up on a napkin and releases it out the back door instead of killing it. She jerked her chin toward Orion. He's the one who's lethal. She was right about that. Only when crossed or annoyed. Which was probably most of the time and easily done, but that was another matter. Brayden let out a tired sigh. All right, then. So long as she only feeds from you, Orion, she can stay. But she can't leave here.
I'll make sure that she knows that.
Very well, then. We'll make sure she's taken care of and given a place to stay.
Thank you. And Davin and I will make sure you have extra protection.
You better, because I'm holding you both personally responsible for everything she does. August 23rd, 1990. Orion took a deep breath as he waited in the small Appellite temple for Phoebe. Dressed in a kilt, with his long hair worn loose about his shoulders, he felt so ridiculous. He even had what was tantamount to a furry purse hanging over his junk and making him nervous as hell that it was going to accidentally pop him too hard and put him out of commission. But this was what Phoebe wanted him to wear for their wedding. So here he was, looking like an idiot to make her happy. Gah. What part of your marrying a Greek daemon and not a Scottish Highlander did you miss, woman? If he ever met her sister Cassandra, he was going to beat the holy hell out of her for her sick romance novel fetish that had put this idea in Phoebe's head. But as the doors opened slowly, to show Phoebe on the other side, dressed in a shimmering gown of flowing white silk that hugged her lithe body to perfection, all complaints scattered. Mostly because all the blood drained from his brain and pooled to the center of his body. Yeah. For her, he'd set himself on fire. Especially when her gaze met his over the single white rose wrapped in red and white ribbons that she carried. And she gave him that sweet, shy smile. His heart pounded as she headed toward him with Brayden at her side to be her sponsor for their union. How weird that after all the times he'd been married, he was actually nervous. Phoebe couldn't believe her eyes as she stared at the sexiest man alive. He was completely gorgeous, tall, lethal. He was hers. The only thing that could make the day better would be to have her family with her. For a moment, her eyes teared, but she refused to be sad. Not tonight. She wouldn't regret what she'd lost. For weeks now, she'd been crying. There was nothing to be done about that. It still burned and hurt and ached. Worse was knowing that her father and Cassandra were still alive and that they both thought her dead. But the truth that she was a daemon would be even more cruel. So she was learning to live her new life with Orion. and tonight they would be united. With a ragged breath, she took his hand. Brayden pulled the ribbons from her rose and wrapped them around their combined hands to join them together. Then he moved to stand in front of them and act as their officiant for the ceremony. Phoebe licked her dry lips as she stared up at her gorgeous Damon. His blue eyes glowed with warmth and love as Brayden began their ceremony. It is through the light that we are born and through the night that we travel. The light is the love of our parents who greet us and welcome us into this world, and it is with the love of our partner that we leave it. Orion and Phoebe have chosen to be with each other, to ease their remaining journey and to comfort one another in the coming nights. And when the final night is upon us, we vow to stand together and ease the one who travels first. Soul to soul we have breathed, flesh to flesh we have touched, and it is alone that we must leave this existence until the night comes that the fates decree we are reunited in Oranli. Oranli was the highest point of Katateros, where only the purest of souls could reach. It was considered the highest point of Atlantean heaven, reserved for saints, heroes, and soulmates. Brayden moved to the sacred font, where they kept an elaborate gold cup housed. Engraved with an image of the three fates, it was reserved for weddings and special feasts. He took it to Phoebe first. Orion held the cup, while Brayden pulled out a small knife and cut a tiny incision on her wrist so that he could place some of her blood in the cup. Then he did the same with Orion. Once they had an equal amount of blood in the cup, Brayden swirled it around three times clockwise and then counterclockwise. He whispered a prayer beneath his breath. Brayden handed the cup to Phoebe for the first drink, and then she handed it to Orion, who drank from the same spot she did. He handed the cup to Brayden, and as was their custom, Orion leaned down to kiss his wife and mingle their blood while it was still on his lips. Brayden returned the cup to the pedestal, then came back to stand in front of them. Now we present Phoebe Jane Peters. She is unique in this world. Her beauty, grace, and charms are the legacy of those who have come before her and will be gifted to those who are born through her. This man who has chosen to unite with her, Orion Thanatago, on the other hand, stands before us a product of honor and integrity. A paragon of his parents, he sheds his house to unite with his wife and become Orion Peters. It is your similarities that brought you together, and your differences that add variety and spark to your life. May the gods bless and protect your union, and may you be blessed with fertility and happiness, and may the two of you enjoy every minute left to you. With those words spoken, Brayden tied the ribbons into a double knot. Hopefully, the ribbons would last for 7 days, at the end of which they'd be cut and buried for luck. Congratulations, Brayden clapped Orion on the arm before he left them alone. It was only then Phoebe realized how alone they were. I'm sorry, Orion.
For what?
That you don't have any of your family here. He shrugged.
It's all good. I have you. And that's all that matters to me. Besides, I'm grateful that none of my family are here to see me dressed like this. My father would shit his pants.
She laughed. You're terrible, and I don't want to hear it. Especially since it's not like you didn't wear a toga back in the day. Sputtering, he clutched at his chest.
Ah, you wound me. It was a chitin woman.
Hello, not a Roman. Oh, whatever, like anyone knows the difference or cares.
I care!
She rolled her eyes at him. Only you would. Suddenly, Orion had a strange feeling. Something wrong?
He glanced around the room as his skin crawled. You feel that?
Feel what?
Like we're being spied on.
Phoebe shook her head. You're being paranoid. How could they?
Maybe, but it was tangible. His flesh literally shivered with it, unmistakable. Something wicked danced on his spine, like Acheron on steroids. Unmistakable and malevolent
as hell.
June 15th, 1996. Orion had barely taken out two of their own who'd been chasing his sister-in-law when he rounded a corner and ran into the last creature he'd ever expected to see, the god Helios. And judging by his expression, he wasn't happy. In fact, if looks alone could kill, Orion would be splintered. "What's up, sunshine?" That had the intended effect. The Titan hurled a god bolt at him, but instead of harming him, it hit his arm and caused it to light up and deflected. The moment it did, the ancient god's eyes widened. He blasted Orion again and again. Nothing happened. His nostrils flared. "Losing your touch?
Don't you dare taunt me!"
Helios narrowed his gaze.
"So you're the one who's been slaughtering my soldiers!"
Orion shrugged with a nonchalance he didn't feel, because he knew he was dancing with the devil. Returning the favor,
says the boy playing with fire.
Orion's blood ran cold.
"What do you mean?"
A slow, evil smile crept across his face.
"When you keep a lot of secrets, they will creep out. There's only so long you can keep the lid on a boiling pot, and you know what you've done."
Helios vanished. Panic filled Orion as he considered those words and the fact that Helios must know what he'd been doing to protect Phoebe. The god was right. Every night Orion woke up, he felt like he was balancing on a razor blade. To keep his wife happy, he was lying to his father, protecting her last sister with everything he had, even killing his own people to do it. To protect his own ass and marriage, he lived in terror of Phoebe finding out that he'd been the one who'd led the strike team that had taken out her eldest sister and her grandparents. That he'd been personally responsible for about half of her childhood traumas and those of her mother. He was the boogeyman that caused her to wake up in the middle of the day shaking. What have I done? His happiness had been bought on a lie. Sooner or later, it would unravel. He knew that. It had to. All things built on a lie would always come crumbling down. Sooner or later. The truth about Cassandra was going to come out. They would all learn it, and it would destroy her. People didn't like being lied to, and they always turned on the liar and dragged them to beat them twice as hard for the betrayal. It was the worst thing anyone could ever do. Suddenly, he felt a presence behind him. Orion turned, ready to fight. Then he smirked at the last person he expected to see. Rune Widowmaker. And he wasn't alone. He was traveling with a demon Orion had only come across a few times over the centuries, but he was the one he knew better than to get tangled up with. Shadow. His allegiance was always questionable at best. One never really knew where his loyalties lay. Not even with himself. He could be a spiteful bastard. And when he saw Orion, the expression on his face said he had about as much trust for Orion as Orion had for him. That they'd rather set each other on fire than pass pleasantries. "Should I ask what trouble you two are getting into?"
Rune smiled. "Mostly mayhem, you."
"Same." Orion jerked his chin at Shadow. "I see you're hanging out with a whole new level of loser." Shadow made a face at that. "I'd be insulted. But for the fact that coming from you and your class of demon, that's a compliment." "How you figure?"
"My boy could be hanging out with a lot worse. He could be with a daemon."
Orion snorted. "Touché." And as he studied them, he realized that their timing here was a bit suspicious. "You two looking for Helios?"
"No."
"Yes," Shadow said at the same time. He glared at Rune. "Why are you lying?"
"Why are you being honest?"
"I didn't get the lie memo," Shadow smirked. "You have to keep me up to speed on these things, otherwise expect absolute honesty."
"Really? Thought you were the Prince of Shadows."
Shadow grimaced. "What's that supposed to mean?"
"Dubious, nebulous, questionable character."
"You have me confused with your mother." Orion let out a low whistle at that. "Hey now. No need to invoke that dig. That's seriously going low, Shadow. I'm flagging that play, and on that note, I need to get back. As he started to leave, Ruin stopped him. When he looked back at his former brother-in-law, Ruin laid a verbal bomb on him.
There's something weird going on in the Nether Realm. Something has kicked the proverbial hornet's nest, and they're going crazy. Watch your back, brother. The gods are crazy, and we're in their way, which means they're going to be coming for us.
February 15th, 2004. Orion pulled out his cell phone and masked his number to appear to be that of a Dark Hunter's squire. He called their senior dispatch and made sure to disguise his thick Greek accent. I was at Dante's Inferno, and I just saw a couple daemons in there cruising for Vix. You might want to wake a hunter and send one in before they kill somebody. Thanks, Squire. Could you give us your ID? He hung up, knowing they'd comply. They always did. Back in the day, he'd call in the reports like that from payphones to lure Dark Hunters out to kill them. Never, ever in those days would he have dreamed he'd be using this tactic to protect Apollo's heiress. Hades is sitting on icicles. Worse, one of Davin's friends, Jensen, was on the strike team. He tried to get the moron to stay home. He hadn't listened. At least he'd been able to get Davin to stay out of it. Standing on the rooftop of the building next to the club, Urien watched the alleys as people came and went. His phone rang. He glanced down to see Phoebe's number. He answered immediately. Hey, Zuimu. Don't call me your life right now. I hear that, and it makes me afraid you have bad news.
God, no, Fee. Your sister's fine. I don't have eyes on her, but the guys aren't here yet, so she's safe.
You're sure?
Positive. I can feel Kat inside. There's no mistaking her power, and it's calm. No firebolts are flying. No one's calling the cops.
Okay. Love you.
Imatrelos Guisena.
You know that's just Greek to me, right?
He laughed at her teasing tone. I'm crazy for you.
Well, hurry up. Save my sister and get your hulking sexy ass home. You know whenever you speak Greek to me, you make me horny.
And those words made him instantly hard. That was mean.
I know. Get here soon.
Yes, ma'am.
He hung up the phone and sobered as he saw his friends arriving. Crap. If the Dark Hunter didn't arrive, he was going to have to go into that club and ruffle some Werehunter fur to protect Cassandra himself. That would go over like a Caronte in Artemis's temple. Shit. Orion had just reconciled himself to that miserable fate when he finally saw the huge, hulking predator swaggering toward the door. Yeah, there was no missing that kind of arrogant stride. Dark Hunter, thank the gods. Saluting the bastard in silence, Orion stepped back into the shadows. Now he was off to get laid and put this shitty night to rest. He'd deal with his father later. And deal he would. Because there would be hell to pay. But the smile on Phoebe's face when he told her that Cassandra was safe would be worth it. His wife would definitely return the favor and show him her gratitude. Yet as he opened the portal to take him to Elysia, he couldn't help thinking he was living on borrowed time and that everything was about to come crashing down. He could feel it in his bones. Death was coming, and the bastard already had him marked. February 16th, 2004. Orion entered his father's study with the pride and grace of a lethal predator. Looking neither left nor right, he made his way straight to where his father stood in front of his desk to report his findings from the Inferno, where he'd gone earlier to speak to the owner, Dante Pontus's brother, Sal, a smarmy little panther. After that encounter, he still felt the need to shower, and he'd barely spent 15 minutes talking to the werebeast. His father narrowed his gaze on him.
Any word?
Orion shook his head. Not yet. The werehunter said he'd lost her scent, but that he will pick her up again. His father clapped him on the back.
I want at least 20 standing by. There's no way she'll escape us all.
Effing awesome. Make this as hard on me as you can. outwardly, Orion showed no emotion whatsoever. I'll summon the Illuminati. His father inclined his head to him.
Good. And this time I'll go with you.
That was a whole lot of disconcerting. His father never went on these runs with them. For that matter, Orion couldn't remember the last time his father had even left Colossus. Normally, Trathis brought the meals here for his father to suck the souls of humans out in their main hall. Damn. The world really was coming to an end, and he had a front row seat for it. A part of him wanted to warn his father that the human realm was extremely different than it had been the last time he'd ventured out. But experience had taught him to never do such a thing. His father tended to view advice as condescension, and that never went well for the person giving it, not even his sons. So Orion bit his tongue and summoned his soldiers for their raid on Cassandra's apartment. But in the back of his mind was the question of how to safely get her out of there now that his father was going with him. It had never been easy in the past. This was going to be a hell of a lot harder. Yet there was no way he could let her die. Phoebe would never forgive him for it. Shit. This was about to get ugly. Orion was still trying to come up with a plausible escape plan for Cassandra, but damn it, every one of their people was right on top of him. He couldn't take a breath that one of them didn't exhale. It was ridiculous. He was about to feign a heart attack, if only a daemon could have one. Frustrated, he had no choice but to watch as his father knocked on the front door of Cassandra's apartment and pretended to be a delivery man. Using his powers, he listened carefully to see if Kat was in there with her. Kat? He heard Cassandra calling. No one answered. Kat? She tried again. His father knocked again, more demanding this time. Orion heard the sounds of rushing feet, as if his sister-in-law were searching the rooms for something. He could taste her fear as she headed to the back of the apartment. His father vanished, no doubt intending to meet her there. Cassandra stopped moving. Kat, is that you? Yeah, let me in. Orion flinched as he realized that wasn't Katra's voice, but his father pretending to be her. Crap. He'd heard the Kori speaking enough to recognize the difference in cadence. He's going to kill her. Cassandra laughed nervously as she opened the front door, and Orion flashed himself to the back to run interference and hopefully save her life. Sadly, he misjudged the distance and ended up landing inside her apartment, a few feet behind her. Good going, dumbass. Lucky for him, she was too mesmerized by his father to notice that she had company inside her home, and his father was too busy taunting her to care that he'd screwed up. That was bad enough. Worse, another daemon popped in beside him. Seriously? He couldn't catch a break tonight with them. Leave it to him to get stuck with an overachiever. Did you miss me, princess? His father taunted from outside her back door in a voice identical to Kat's. Cassandra stood there, gaping. What are you, the friggin' Terminator? His father smirked.
No. I'm the Harbinger, who is merely preparing the way for the Destroyer.
He reached for her. Cassandra stepped back and almost into Orion, who also had to take a step away from her to keep from being a rude awakening that she had an uninvited guest, courtesy of a loophole she didn't realize about apartment buildings. He also had to shove his companion out of her way. Still unaware of them, she pulled out a dagger from her waist and sliced his father's arm. His eyes turning red, his father hissed. Then she spun about and realized they were in the apartment with her. Awesome. With a piercing scream, she caught his friend in the chest with her dagger. He evaporated into a golden black cloud before Orion could pull him to safety. Grinding his teeth, he cursed himself for not being quicker. Spinning around, Cassandra kicked his father back, but he didn't go completely out the door. Instead, he blocked it more, which prevented her from escaping.
You're quick.
He healed his arm, causing her to gasp at his powers.
I'll give you that.
Cassandra lifted her chin defiantly, reminding him of a gesture Phoebe used whenever Orion pissed her off. You don't know the half of it. She kneed the next one of their guys who reached her and fought Orion second in command. His father stayed back, watching her carefully so that he could learn her techniques and use them against her. Orion knew if he didn't get her out of here, or shield her movements, his father was about to attack her any second and end her existence. It was now or never. Determined, he rushed her. To his shock, she didn't run away. Rather, she caught him under the arm and flipped him over. Orion hit the ground with a loud grunt that left him reeling. Just as she went to stab him, his father came out of nowhere and grabbed her arm before she could pierce his daemon's mark.
No one attacks Orion!
She shrieked as he wrenched the dagger from her hand. Then she made the fatal move, as so many had before her. Cassandra met his father's eyes that swirled like mercury silver. Those eyes were hypnotic. They danced and held everyone spellbound, turned their thoughts to oatmeal. Orion literally watched as all the fight inside her vanished. A sly, seductive smile curved his father's lips.
You see how easy it is when you don't fight?
He tilted her head to the side to give him access to her carotid artery. His father met Orion's gaze and let laughter rumble deep in his throat a moment before he sank his teeth into her neck.
Am I interrupting?
Orion bared his fangs as he recognized that deep baritone. This was the one he affectionately called the Muppet Dark Hunter, because his accent reminded him of the Swedish chef. The huge bastard jerked his father away from Cassandra, which was good, but Orion ran to check on him while the Dark Hunter whisked his sister-in-law up into his arms and ran with her.
Get them!
He shouted at his team, knowing they'd never catch up. So it gave them a chance to get away, and Orion an excuse to let them. Or so he thought. No sooner did he touch his father's shoulder than his father's eyes turned red and he sprang to life. Worse, he shifted into his dragon form and launched into flight. Cursing, Orion went running to catch them. He manifested a motorcycle just so that he could chase after Wolf's dark green expedition. Cassandra and crew had just locked the doors when his father struck the roof in his large black dragon form.
Let her out, and you can live,
the dragon said in Stryker's voice. Wolf answered by putting his SUV in reverse and gunning it. He turned the wheel and sent the beast flying. The dragon shrieked and blew a blast of fire at them. The Dark Hunter kept going without slowing. The dragon took flight and dove at them, then arced up high into the sky before it vanished into a shimmery cloud of gold.
What the hell was that?
Wolf asked.
He's Apostolos,
Cassandra murmured as she struggled to snap herself out of her daze.
The son of the Atlantean destroyer and a god in his own right. We're so screwed.
Wolf let out a disgusted sound.
Yeah, well, I don't let anyone screw me until they kiss me, and since there's not even a snowball's chance in hell of me kissing that bastard, we're not screwed.
But as his expedition was suddenly surrounded by 8 daemons on motorcycles, he reconsidered that. For 3 seconds, at least. Wolf laughed.
You know the beauty of driving one of these?
No.
He swerved his expedition into 3 of the bikes and knocked them from the road.
You can swat a daemon like a mosquito.
Well, since they're both blood-sucking insects, I say go for it.
Orion wasn't amused as he heard their conversation, and definitely not when Wolf almost clipped him. Breaking, he motioned for the other 4 daemons with him to let them go. Not just because it was Phoebe's sister, but because he didn't want to see anyone else die tonight. He swerved his Hayabusa and went back to check the 3 Illuminati who'd been wrecked to see if they needed medical attention to get home. March 9th, 2004. Stryker paced the floor of the dimly lit banquet hall, wanting blood and not from one of their own. For 3 weeks now, they hadn't been able to find a single trace of the Dark Hunter Wolf Tryggvason, or the Appellite heiress, Cassandra Peters, who was the final key to eliminating their curse for once and for all and getting Helios off their backs. How could they go into hiding so effectively? It didn't make any sense. He had Orion working on it now, but it seemed useless.
How hard can it be to find where a Dark Hunter lives?
They are crafty, Kyrios,
Zolan said from his right. Zolan was his 3rd in command, and one of Stryker's most trusted soldiers, after Orion and Tratis. He'd been promoted through the Spathi ranks for his ability to murder ruthlessly and to never show mercy to anyone. Like Stryker, he chose to dye his hair black and wore the Spathi symbol of a yellow sun with a dragon in its center, the emblem of Apollomy the Destroyer.
If they weren't, Zolan continued, we'd be able to track and kill them through our servants while they slept.
Stryker turned on Zolan with a glare so malevolent that the daemon shrank away from him. Only his son held enough courage to not flinch from his anger. Orion's bravery knew no equal. Out of nowhere, Zedrix appeared before him in the hall. Unlike the daemons, Zedrix didn't bow or acknowledge Stryker's elevated stature in their world. Most of the time, Zedrix treated him as more of a servant than a master, which pissed him off to no uncertain end. No doubt the daemon thought Apollomy would always protect him, but Stryker knew the truth. His mother loved him absolutely, and no one else.
Her benevolent grace wishes a word with you,
the daemon said in a low, even tone.
Benevolent grace? As if. Every time Stryker heard that title for Apollomy, he wanted to laugh.
But he knew better. His mother didn't really have a sense of humor. Without delay, he willed himself to her palace and walked through the double door that led out to her private gardens where she was waiting for him. As usual, Apollomy leaned over her pool, where black water flowed backward up a glittering pipe from this world into the human realm. There was a fine rainbow mist and vapors around the water. It was here the goddess could scry so that she knew what was happening on Earth, past, present, future. She's pregnant, the goddess announced, without turning around. Stryker knew the she that the goddess referred to was Cassandra.
How can that be?
The goddess lifted her hands up and drew a circle in the air. Water from the mirror formed like a crystal ball, even though nothing but air held it. It swirled about until it held an image of the woman they both wanted dead. There was nothing in the ball to give him any indication of how to find Cassandra. Apollomy dragged one fingernail through the image, causing it to shake and distort.
Artemis is interfering with us.
There's still time to kill both mother and child.
She smiled at that.
Yes, there is.
She opened her hands, and the water arced from the ball back into her pool.
Now is the time to strike. The Electi is being held by Artemis. He can't stop you. He won't even know that you attack.
Stryker flinched at the mention of the Electi. Like the Abaddonna, Stryker was forbidden to attack him. He hated restrictions.
We don't know where to attack, he told his mother. We've been searching.
Take one of the Ceridons. My pets can find them.
I thought they were forbidden to leave this realm.
A cruel half-smile curved her lips.
Artemis broke the rules. So shall I. Now go, Mingios, and do me proud.
Stryker nodded and turned about sharply. He took three steps before the destroyer's voice gave him pause.
Remember, Strykerius, kill the Eris before the Electi returns. You are not to engage him ever.
He stopped, but didn't look back.
Why have I always been forbidden to touch him?
Ours is not to question why. Ours is but to live or die.
He ground his teeth as she gave him the human quote. When she spoke again, the coldness in her tone only angered him more.
The answer to that is how much do you value your life, Strykerius? I have kept you close all these centuries, and I have no desire to see you dead.
The Electi can't kill me. I'm a god.
And greater gods than you have fallen, many of them to my wrath. Heed my words, boy. Heed them well.
Irritated by that, Stryker continued on his way, pausing only long enough to unleash Kyklonus, whose name meant tornado. Once unleashed, the Ceridon, like him and Orion, was a deadly menace. March 10th, 2004.
Keep hitting them with everything!
Orion cringed at his father's orders. They were blasting Wolf's Mansion like the final round of Call of Duty. It was a wonder someone hadn't called in the National Guard on them. This is ridiculous. But he didn't dare speak reason to his father when he was in this mood. It would be the same as trying to reason with King Leonidas, and he had no desire to be kicked into a spiked pit or fed to lions. And he was equally shocked when Kat appeared in the guardhouse with them. She winced as her gaze went to the two dead men on the floor that his father had slaughtered on arrival, not to mention the dozen daemons his father had on the lawn preparing for another round of attacks. Only four daemons were inside the guardhouse, him, his father, Icarus, and Thratis. Thratis looked up from the monitor and went pale at the appearance of the one person none of them could harm. "How did you get in here?" Kat demanded. Orion gave her a droll stare.
"We walked."
Stryker turned slowly, methodically around to face her with a sardonic grin. There was no fear in him, only wry amusement. Unlike Orion, he wasn't quite as sarcastic.
"The guards came outside when we ate the pizza delivery man and tried to stop us. We dragged them inside after they were dead."
"You are so evil," Orion snorted. "Judgmental much?" Ignoring his comment, his father took pride in Kat's insults.
"Thank you, love. I pride myself on that."
Kat opened the portal back to Colossus. "It's time for you all to go home." Stryker looked at the opening, then laughed.
"Afraid not, sweetie. Mama likes me better at the moment. So you can shove that portal up your very attractive ass. Me and my boys have work to do. Either join us or leave."
Orion didn't miss the light of fear in Kat's eyes that those words wrought. You couldn't blame her. His father was terrifying. "You have to go. Those are the rules. The portal opens, and you have to walk through it." Stryker came forward, his eyes sinister and cold.
"No, we don't."
The portal closed. She gasped. The destroyer had given him a key, too, and placed him in control. Stryker cupped her face with his hand.
"It's a pity she protects you so. Otherwise, I would have had a taste of you centuries ago."
She glared her fury at him. "Get your hand off me or lose it." To her surprise, he obeyed, but not before he kissed her rudely. Kat shrieked and slapped him. He laughed.
"Go home, little girl. If you stay here, you might get hurt."
Her body shaking, Kat flashed back into the house. Orion shook his head. "You shouldn't treat her like that." The words came out before he could stop himself. His father passed a disbelieving stare toward him.
"Pardon?
You taught us better. And if we'd ever grabbed a woman or spoken to one like you just did, you'd have torn our asses up."
"I know. There's just something about her that makes me insane."
Not wanting to argue, Orion went back to watching the monitors. A few minutes later, he saw a bright flash and heard his father's violent curse.
"Careful,"
his father warned his men as they fired another round at the house.
"Not that it's likely, but give them a chance to come out before you blow the house apart."
"Why?" Thratis asked. "I thought the objective was to kill the heiress."
Orion gave the man an irritated stare that said, "Are you totally stupid?"
"Yes, but if we hurt the Abaddonna in the process, we're going to find out what it feels like to be turned inside out, literally. Like most beings, I actually like the fact that my skin is outside my body."
"She's immortal," Thratis argued. "What's a bomb to her?"
"Immortal like us, bonehead." Orion snatched the rocket launcher from Thratis' hand and handed it off to Icarus. "Blow her body apart and she will die. None of you want to know what the destroyer would do to us if that happens." Icarus aimed more carefully. Stryker nodded his approval to his son, then projected his thoughts to the rest of his team.
"Watch the exits. I know the Dark Hunter will have a back way out of this place. When they run, you'd better catch them. Stand ready."
Stryker studied the security cameras closely. He knew the heiress and her guards wouldn't stay inside much longer. His men had already blown up the entire garage and were now slowly shooting into the house, section by section. There was a lot of exterior damage, but he couldn't really tell how much was being done internally. Not that it mattered. If this didn't work, they'd burn it down. He already had the flamethrowers on standby. Anyone worth his salt would have exit tunnels, and Wolf was certainly worth his salt. Orion had found several exits so far. His son just had to make sure they had found them all before their prey left the premises.
Orion?
He projected his thoughts out to his son.
Are you in position?
Yes, we have all of the exits covered.
Where are you?
The back lawn. Why, is something going wrong?
No, I just want to make sure we can get to them.
They're ours, Solrin. Relax.
I will after she's dead.
Orion cursed at the madness in his skull that was giving him a migraine. It was bad enough to have the human souls in his head screaming at him all the time. Now his father was a raging lunatic while he silently shouted orders at everyone as he sought to micromanage every single nanobit of this night. Not to mention, Tratis was so terrified of making a mistake that his current adrenaline level was running at scared chihuahua on steroids with double espresso shots every 10.5 seconds. Factor in all the other daemons on the property who were shitting their pants, and no wonder he kept getting nosebleeds.
Are you all right, baby?
He melted
as Phoebe placed her soft hand to his forehead.
No!
I'm a dumb son of a bitch for letting you talk me into this. She rose up on her tiptoes to kiss his lips.
It's the only way. My sister would never trust you without me, and I don't want to risk a Dark Hunter killing you.
Funny, he didn't want to risk her at all.
He lays one hand on you, and so help me.
She placed her fingers over his lips to silence his protests.
We have to hurry, right?
He hated whenever she used his words against him. Phoebe was the most potent weapon the universe had ever devised to lay him low, and honestly, he was hoping to delay long enough that they might screw up and capture his sister, kill the bitch, and he wouldn't have to risk his wife. That would suit him fine. Better Cassandra die than Phoebe. And if the curse ended in the process, even fucking better.
Orion?
Phoebe said calmly.
We're not moving forward.
He growled low in his throat.
All right.
Hating himself for the fact that this had disaster written all over it, and he was actually participating in something he knew was stupid, risky, and against every survival instinct he possessed, he took her to the one place he hadn't told his father about, the boathouse. Of all the exits for the house that he'd found, Orion figured this was the most likely escape route. For four people, it would have the most cover and be the quietest means to get past an enemy without being seen, especially one who kept carpet bombing them. Besides, who would expect a boat? And what were the odds that your enemy would just happen to have a boat on them to pursue you with? Yeah, a boat escape made the most sense. Plus, the bastard was a Viking. Taking off on water would be his first thought. Not the thought of a normal, well-adjusted modern person, but for a Viking raider?
Boat.
So here they were. Orion pressed Phoebe back into the shadows.
You wait here and don't move. Let me secure the perimeter.
Aye, sir. She gave him a mock salute. Rolling his eyes, he headed for the back door. Phoebe pressed her lips together as she admired the sweetest ass and deadliest walk any man had ever had in the history of mankind. Really, no one could surpass Orion's. Even Davin agreed. And he'd been married to the man's twin brother. That said a lot. Though there were times when she wondered if she should be jealous that Davin was so preoccupied by her husband's hindquarters, or even worried, given the way Davin joked. Thankfully, she knew her husband was loyal to a fault. Otherwise, she would be a little nervous, given how much time they were forced to spend apart. It took a lot of trust to let a man that hot live away from her for the majority of their marriage. Likewise, it took a lot of trust for Orion to leave her alone, too, because the loneliness was hard to bear. Not wanting to think about that, Phoebe glanced around the humongous building she was in. It was larger and more elegant than most houses,
and given the extreme wealth she'd known growing up, it took a lot to impress her. This place did that in spades. All around her was an impressive collection of high-end, high-tech boats that even her dad would have drooled over. You could tell that Darkhunter, who owned this place, had been a Viking in his mortal life. He obviously was still drawn to the sea and all things nautical. Earlier, she'd gone exploring through the second floor, which had four bedrooms, a kitchen, and living, dining, and game rooms, which was weird that he'd have set it up that way, given how huge his main house was. Or had before Stryker had bombed half of it into oblivion, trying to kill her sister. Orion hadn't been kidding about his father. That man was insane. He truly wouldn't stop at anything to kill them. The car bomb he'd used on her and her sister and mother? Should have told her that. But she barely remembered that night. It was as if her mind had been unable to handle it, and so she'd blocked it out. All she really recalled was Orion waving as they drove by, and then waking up in Elysia, with him telling her that everything would be okay. She didn't know what she'd do without him, how she could cope. But damn, his father was a special level of hell that made no sense whatsoever. How could Orion have come from that wackadoodle? And speaking of that, Orion appeared with not one, but two bodies. Phoebe gasped at the sight and the irritated look on his face. She knew they couldn't be Damon's because they were actual bodies. What happened?
Two of our men got in the way.
Those aren't Damon's.
Worse. Appellites.
But I couldn't risk them telling my father about the boathouse. He placed them on the floor near the rear of the building. With a disgusted look, he wiped at his nose.
Stay here. Let me make sure there's not any more. Be right back.
Phoebe covered her face as she felt terrible for having caused this. Though Orion didn't say anything, she knew the hell she was putting him through. All these centuries, he'd fought and risked his life for the Apollomians. They were his family. And she'd pitted him against them. Pitted him against the father he adored. For her. I suck as a human being. She hated that it came to this, that she was forcing him to compromise everything he held dear to be with her and risk his life. It was so unfair. Yet he never said a word. She looked at the bodies and cringed. How could he not hate her? That was her worst fear, that one day he'd wake up and realize she wasn't worth this. In that moment, Phoebe was truly humbled by what she had. It was rare to find anyone in life who would be loyal to you. Brother, sister, parent, friend, even a spouse or child. Betrayal was a natural part of life. To find someone who would actually kill to protect you, who would risk and sacrifice their life every single day to keep you safe, without question, and without asking anything in return, and to never, ever throw it in your face? Not even on those days when she was bitchy for no reason. She wasn't worthy of a love so pure. And in her heart, she knew that. And as much as she loved him, she didn't know if she could do what he did with the courage he showed. Damn. Suddenly, she heard whispering and the sound of feet shuffling in the darkness. Terrified it might be her psycho father-in-law, she darted into a small closet to hide. Thus proving to herself just what a coward she was, and why, if anything ever happened to Orion, she'd be lost. Worse, she'd be dead. Slowly, she heard something scraping and moving around like some kind of giant sewer rat that brought up images of Willard in her head. For that matter, every horror movie with giant rodents she'd ever seen, so help her God, if anything furry with whiskers came scurrying out, she was going to scream like a B-movie actress and cause an avalanche. She'd break the sound barrier, she would. There better not be rats in this place. Then all of a sudden, there was no more motion or sound. Still panicking, Phoebe held her breath. Was it a trick? Had the little bastards frozen to death? It was cold out here. Or maybe it was a trap to lure her out. Stryker could be treacherous that way. She'd heard all kinds of stories from Orion about things his father had done to people over the centuries.
She wouldn't put anything past him. Still, there was no motion in the room, no sound of someone or something walking about. She bit her nails in nervousness as she scanned the shadows with her sharp Daemon eyes, trying to detect anything at all. Yet the only thing she could hear was the creaking of the ice and the howling wind outside the building. And of course, the stupid human voice in her head whining about being trapped there. That made her want to scream. But she was kind of used to that going on. Just as she was about to leave her closet to find Orion, she heard someone moving just in front of her again. Oh, holy crap. They were coming up through the floor only a few feet from where she was hiding. If that was Stryker or one of his Illuminati, she was dead. Terrified, she tried to think of what to do, but unlike Orion, she didn't know how to teleport. Crap, crap, crap! Trying to control her breathing, she pressed herself as far back into the shadows as she could and prayed they didn't see her. To her absolute horror, the hole opened, and sure enough, something furry and whiskered came out. Only this bastard was 6.5 feet tall, well-muscled, and he was the mortal enemy of her people. Christ almighty, he looked like Sasquatch! Phoebe felt her eyes bugging out of her head at the lumbering sight of him. Scared and furious, she looked around for a harpoon gun to spear the whale. Just as she was about to grab a flare, she realized he was pulling her sister up to stand beside him. Joy replaced her fear as tears blinded her and froze in her eyelashes. She hadn't seen Cassie in years. She was so fixated on her that she barely registered the other two people who came up behind her sister. She was tempted to rush forward, but the giant with Cassie terrified her.
Okay, Sasquatch whispered. It looks good so far. I want you, he said to Cassandra, and Chris to stay back. If anything happens, you to dodge back into the tunnels and press the red button to lock the door behind you.
What about you and Kat? Cassandra indicated Sasquatch and the tall blonde woman who'd climbed out with them.
We'll take care of ourselves. You and Chris are the important things.
Phoebe frowned. So this was the Muppet Dark Hunter. Now that she heard his accent, Orion's nickname for him totally made sense. He gestured at the boats that were trapped in chains, suspended over the ice.
It'll take a couple of minutes to lower the airboat from its harness down to the ice.
He glanced around.
Let's hope the Daemons don't hear it.
Cassandra nodded and kissed him lightly.
Be careful.
Phoebe gaped at her sister's lack of taste. Sure, Muppet was cute and all, but seriously? He was a Dark Hunter. How disgusting was that? What kind of Appleite could even think of crawling into bed with one of those animals who'd been hunting and stalking their race for thousands and thousands of years? One who'd been heartlessly slaughtering them for generations. Gah! Her sister was an idiot. If their mother was still alive, she'd be the first to beat her. Wolf hugged her sister gently, then opened the door. He took a step out, then acted weird. Ah, crap. He must have found the bodies Orion had dumped there, which meant he'd panic and do something stupid, because that was what Dark Hunters did, something stupid that got her kind killed. I have to do something, and quick, before he exposed them and caused Orion to be harmed. She was running through her options when he pulled his retractable sword from his boot. Now or never, Phoebes. With a deep breath for courage, she came out of the shadows and moved toward him. He prepared to attack. It's okay, Phoebe said quickly, praying he didn't stab her. I'm a friend. The look on his face said he wasn't buying it at all, but thankfully, Cassie recognized her. Gasping, she stared at her in utter disbelief. Time stopped as Phoebe took in her sister's long, strawberry blonde hair and those features that were way too close to their mother's. She'd missed her family so much.
Phoebe?
Cassie breathed.
It's really you?
Tears blurred her vision. As she choked on her tears.
It's me, Cassie. I'm here to help you.
Her sister stepped back and collided with the much smaller, dark-haired guy who stood behind her. He was eyeing Phoebe with all kinds of malice, and so was the tall blonde woman who looked like she ought to be on an island somewhere shooting the bikini issue of Sports Illustrated rather than locked in a boathouse being chased by Daemons. but it was the doubt in Cassandra's eyes that stung. You're supposed to be dead.
I am dead, Phoebe whispered.
You're a demon.
There was no missing the accusation and judgment in the Dark Hunter's tone. Phoebe nodded.
Oh, Phoebe.
Cassandra's voice was thick with disappointment.
How could you?
Seriously? Her too? Like she had any room to talk, given the company she was in. At least Phoebe hadn't turned traitor. Don't judge me. I had my reasons. Now we have to get you to safety. Cassandra gaped. Like I'm going to trust you. She actually bowed up and acted as if she'd attack. I remember Uncle Demos. So did she. There was no forgetting Atrelos when they turned and came after you with that kind of fury. It was terrifying, and now that she had the demons in her head, she understood. But still, I'm not Uncle Demos, and I have no intention of turning you into me. Phoebe took a step toward her, but that hulking, irritating Dark Hunter prevented her from getting any closer to Cassandra. Phoebe glared at him for his interference. She was family. He was not. Desperate, she looked at her sister. Please, Cassie, you have to believe me. I would never, ever harm you. I swear it on Mom's soul. She'd barely finished speaking when Orion came through the door from outside. Phoebe cringed at his bad timing. Orion wasn't known for his peacekeeping techniques, more for whenever someone was ready for nuclear fallout. The blonde with her sister gasped.
Hurry, Fee, he whispered. I can't keep this covered much longer.
Ever defiant, he met the Dark Hunter's gaze without flinching. There was no missing the anger and hatred of the two men as they barely restrained their urge to go at it. It sizzled in the air and made every daemon instinct in her body rabid.
Why are you helping us?
The Dark Hunter demanded. Orion sneered at him. Like I give a rat's ass about you, Dark Hunter. I'm only here to help my wife protect her sister. The blonde woman gaped.
Orion has a heart? Who knew?
Orion passed an equally repugnant stare toward her. Shut up, Albadonna. Now it was Phoebe's turn to gape. That bombshell was Katra? That was the